The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show known for its blueberry pancakes. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
nerds of the world unite to speak on important matters, Shane tells us if we should watch Robotech, and Adam reaches level 70 in World of Real Life but still has to buy his own drinks.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Greetings and salutations, Scope faithful. It's going to be a hot one in here today, everybody. But it's a very cold one outside. We'll get into that in just a little bit. We've got a full house. Literally, Adam, we're brimming.
How does one brim?
I don't know.
Could you explain the brimming process?
But as Jared teased earlier in his fantastic introduction, we've got the Scope Nerd Roundtable coming up. We'll get into that a little bit. And to do that, we have a couple of guests in the studio to help us out. So let's introduce them quickly, and then we'll introduce the rest of the cast and talk about stuff that's of interest to us. Guest number one, you know him as Trivia Champion, Trivia Master, very cocky and know-it-all, says Adam. It would be Gary. Not a big talker now, are we, Gary?
Well, I was just amazed with all the fan clapping and yelling I heard. That was amazing.
But people love you.
And I love them.
Much like the American Gladiator Nitro, people either love you or they hate you or they love to hate you.
I wanted to be on that show.
I think
everyone
you would have done
wanted
awesome.
To be on that show.
I couldn't have knocked down those big steroid broads. I mean, I would have been snapped in half on the human cannonball. I would have swung into her and bounced off like I was like you were throwing a cotton ball at her.
I do like the fact that you think that you would go against the women.
Well, yeah. Naturally. You know, they did actually have a children's American Gladiator program for a bit. And I wouldn't even have done well on that, you know. Our second guest today is a fan favorite. We love him here. He always brings a lot of joy and sparkle and energy to the show. It would be Earl. Yay! Or he would be Earl.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
What say you, Earl?
I say it all be good.
I want to call him Sparkle now.
Do it.
You have my permission to call him Sparkle for the
What's
rest of the
name?
Program.
Oh, yeah. Sparkle.
Sir
Thank
Sparkle
you.
Sitting in the gunfighter's chair in the
Not hot.
In the Scope Studios. The show.
What does that mean? What is a gunfighter chair?
The gunfighter spot is the spot in the room where if you sit, you can see everything happening.
Okay, good to know.
I can't see good.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm in the gunfighter's
chair. Actually, it was the one underneath the plane.
I don't know. The Scope is, we have three hosts for this program, Jared.
We have probably only two now because I'm walking out.
He's done with it. And I'm going to introduce them in a reasonable and rational manner. The first host I'm going to talk about is my good friend, Adam. A little bit under the weather, or at least his voice is. Can you confirm that, Adam?
Yes, my voice is under the weather.
It sounds pretty good now, but before the show started, you sounded terrible.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I should have brought like coffee or something.
That'll be good.
He's lubing up.
Things. Yeah. Lubing up my throat.
Yeah.
Yikes. The second gentleman I want to talk about would be Jared.
I hope you talk good about me.
I will. He's a fine, fine gentleman, a specimen of a human being, and I'm glad he's here. And the third person...
You're not going to be dissecting me later, are
yes,
you?
The third person I want to talk about is myself. I would be Shane, and unlike Gary, people just hate me. They don't love me. They don't love to hate me. They just hate me. Except Earl. So as I mentioned earlier, it's been very, very cold, and I want to talk about how annoying it's been. I know that most of our listeners come from our home state of Minnesota, but for those of you who don't, there's no global warming going on here, everyone.
I wish.
It's been freezing for like 2 weeks now, and I'm tired of it.
Would you say we need to pump more CO2 into the air?
Yes. Earl, what do you think about that? More CO2.
I agree.
More methane.
We've had lows below zero for like 9 straight days.
Practically.
Right? 10 straight days.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
it's ridiculous.
Which, you know, I think we've had, I'm a weather freak. Everyone knows that. And most winters, we average about 30 days where we go under zero. And right now, I think we're only had like 12 or 13 days. So It's not unusual what we're going through.
You're the weather nerd. I have no idea.
That is true. So, and we could have two more weeks of this and still not be normal,
and
Gary.
You got to realize how warm January was, though.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was very frightening.
I was out walking every morning outside, and it was just freaky.
In your tidy whiteies, or were you wearing?
I had my Borat swimsuit on.
Wow,
very nice.
Adam got a big smile on his face from that.
The vehicles can see you. You know, clearly, yeah. There's no risk of injury.
But Earl, you want to say something?
Yeah, I got to talk about how tough I was yesterday. I had to run some errands. I was wearing my shorts, and I said, "Screw it!" I wore my shorts outside. It was a nice breeze.
I can't even believe you would do something so crazy.
I did it.
You're one of those guys where the weather doesn't normally affect you.
No.
At least you pretend like, yes, you're not hot. But, you know, you keep the house warm or you keep it cool depending upon the season. And, you know, it doesn't matter to you. Like, I'm always freezing to death. You are not.
Yeah, I didn't want to put pants on.
It's interesting.
Well, that has nothing to do with your immunity to the weather.
I find it very interesting that Earl can't be bothered to change pants.
I had a deadline. I had the deadline to make. I had to get pen. You know what? I'm done. I'm not going to dig anymore.
Well, hopefully we will break out of this cold snap by the end of the week. But as we all know, the weather people have been saying, oh, in the next 5 days it's going to get warmer. And then 5 days come and it's still exactly the same. So if the scope is frozen in a giant ice cube for the next show, you know that the weather is bringing us down.
What would that sound like?
I don't know. Very crisp and clear.
We record inside an ice cube.
Mm-hmm. Next topic, I want to revisit the Super Bowl from last weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
We laid down some bets. We laid down some predictions, the three of us, and I don't remember who bet what. I know that I bet to win. Did I win, Jared?
You did not win.
Did you win, Jared?
I think I came the closest. I said Colts by 10, and they won by 12.
I think Jared was the only one that picked the Colts at all, right? You picked the Bears?
I picked the
Bears.
I picked the Colts to win by 11, okay. I believe is what I picked.
I don't think so.
That's what my memory. Unless
I should have pulled the tape.
Unless Jared pulled the tape, we cannot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we both picked the Bears.
Yeah,
very good. I want to go over to Gary and Earl for a quick Super Bowl comment. What did you think?
I watched the game. I really enjoyed the rainy weather.
Did you pick someone to win or lose?
You know, I didn't really care. I didn't care who won. I just wanted to see a good game, and I thought the Colts delivered.
Did you pick Prince to win the Super Bowl halftime show?
I enjoyed Prince's
halftime
show. You
love Prince.
I love Prince. I'm a big Prince fan.
And he knocked it out of the park.
He did.
A+.
I was really happy that of the covers he did. You know, he did the Foo Fighters and Jimi Hendrix. And yeah, it was a great halftime show.
Are you of the opinion that his silhouette of him stroking his phallic guitar was intentional or not?
Of course it was.
Of course. I say yes.
You know, I say absolutely not.
What?
With his new religious,
he's not a
background?
He's not a Jehovah's Witness anymore, though.
Really, what does he know?
He's still religious, but he's not a Jehovah's Witness.
I don't know if it was intentional.
He was a Jehovah's Witness.
It has to be.
Just because, even if he were super religious, like he could still play around with it. It's all...
being his phallic...
Ever since they were lead guitarists, there have been phallic images with the lead guitar.
Boy, that was just really gay.
He can't play guitar if that's...
I just think it kind of goes with the territory.
And it's the devil's music to begin with.
Of course it is.
You know, so, he's got mad guitar skills, and he showed them off.
Earl, you have something to say.
I do. Jared and I were talking about it. We're like, it wasn't that bad because he didn't have some girl bent over in front of him and he was doing a hip thrust. He just had the damn thing right there. Being one that's played the guitar, it goes right there. You can't help it.
It's right where the junk is.
Well, unless you play jazz and then your bass is like way up here.
At your neck.
Around your neck.
I am not a big Prince fan, and I liked it a lot, too.
Well, how could you not be a Prince fan?
I don't know.
Hey, I'm with Adam. I'm not a Prince fan either.
Okay, well, why don't you two go make out?
My mind's personal.
I told Jared the story yesterday about the concert, and I will share it with the three of you. I heard this, or read it somewhere on the internet, found out that right before the halftime show started, like the main power cable was cut, and they didn't know what they were going to do. And... this article said that the true hero of the show was like a roadie or some tech guy that actually stripped the wire down, shoved the bare copper into the outlet where it needed to be for the energy and power, and held it there for 12 minutes in a rainstorm so that Prince would have power to his guitar. And
who got most valuable player again?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Whatever.
Actually, I think that was Peyton Manning doing that. That's how the class act he was.
Yeah.
So,
did they suspect foul play in the cutting?
I think they believe that it might have been Janet Jackson.
Wow.
You know, people were complaining that the stage was all slippery and Prince wasn't doing all his, you know, running around shtick like he usually does.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stage was really slippery. Come on.
That's because he wears giant-ass shoes.
Andy's going in for hip replacement surgery, too.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's in his 50s, isn't
he?
Wow,
how do you know all this stuff, Gary?
He likes Prince.
Because I like Prince.
He likes him.
Gary maintains a Prince blog.
GaryForPrince.com. Alrighty. Super Bowl covered. Next, World of Warcraft update.
The Scope World of Warcraft update. Keep your Harvest Golem to yourself, Adam.
Adam, you've been sick.
It's a good thing I started playing again, because I don't know how many of those we recorded, but we haven't repeated any.
Sure, we have.
Sure, we have. Really? Just you're so enamored with them.
There's one more. There's one more in the tank that I have to produce. But
okay.
So you know, you were sick the last week and a half.
Yeah.
Did you have time to play World of Warcraft?
No, I was too busy not doing anything else, like not having a job,
filling out resumes.
Right. Yeah, of course I played. My guild had all this drama. People.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were out of the guild situation.
No.
Did you get back into it, or
was it
all talk?
I never was not in the guild. Okay. I stopped playing.
Did any of the guild people listen to the show and listen to you badmouth them earlier?
I forgot about that. I think only one person listens, and he was not one that I badmouthed.
Okay. So. Is there anything bad you want to say about him while we're here?
No, I say most bad things to him, so it wouldn't really matter.
Okay.
Anyway, there was all this drama with people leaving and all that this week, so that was the excitement.
Did the people leave? I mean, is your guild smaller?
You know, a few people, three or four, but they were like three or four kind of like people that were at the top.
Where'd they go?
To a different guild.
Bard's Tale?
Were they free agents? I mean, did they get signed away? Is that the deal?
I mean, they...
You don't have enough cap room?
Yes, they
chose... It's a rebuilding season.
They chose to leave for a more hardcore guild.
Really?
Yes. You saying you weren't man enough for
them? Like to mix their WoW and porn?
Well, it's not like it's my guild. I'm not in charge of anything.
Well, why don't you start your own guild? Yeah. Then you can decide the rules and
the Scope World of Warcraft guild.
Well, me and the one guy that does listen, we started our own guild, but just for, our alts.
Are you the dungeon master?
It's called Guildmaster, and yes, I
am. What is your guild's name?
Die in a fire.
What does that mean?
It means, you know, when you're mad at someone, you say, why don't you go die in a fire?
Oh.
Die in a fire.
Okay.
Not Diana Fire.
Oh, I thought it was Diana Fire. Your favorite actress from the 70s.
Right.
Originally up for the role of the Bionic Woman. Did you know that?
I did.
Diana Fire?
Also in porn.
I doubt that.
That's just what I've read. That's what my sources tell me.
Can I be Uni?
Uni.
Willie Ames. Jared, since we're going around talking about things, I know you've been hard at work on your solo project.
Yeah.
Could you give us an update on that, please?
Sure. It's my goal is to have it done within the week. I've got a few songs to finish up, and I need to get it off to the duplicator so it's available for sale in March.
For the legions of Jared fans, give us a little background. What are you doing this for, and how can they get a hold of it as soon as possible?
This is... It's funny that you mentioned the word possible. The band's called Possible Oscar. It's a comedy music project, and I'm doing this because it's fun, and I don't know. It'll be available early March. It'll be on the website, possibleoscar.com, or if you're going to MarsCon first weekend in March, you can buy it there.
Can you please just tease us a little bit with one of the names of the songs off of this album?
I will save that for the Scope Sounds block.
Oh, so there you go. Something to listen to. And I was looking at... Gary and Earl, and they're doing some secret hand gestures over there, like they're trying to land planes. I don't know what's going on, but... Oh, well, thank you, Jared.
They're very well practiced in the art of semaphore.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, this next and final bit of our introductory part of the program is a visual, so I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to lay it on everybody. I got an email from a former co-worker of Adam's and a current co-worker of mine, and he was... went to one of those celebrity matching sites where, you know, you take your picture, you put it in, and then, you know, it spits out what celebrity you most closely look like.
Are you sure this person did not...
I've totally done that.
...recently resign from?
He may or may... Yes, okay. He said he was going to, but... so he said...
Listener of the show?
Listener of the show. Okay. And so he did one for Adam and one for myself. And we'll start with Adam first, because I think this is great.
Oh, no.
I want everyone in the room just to look at Adam's sexy face... And just guess who he could look like.
From my perspective, he looks very hairy.
Yes, I am.
And I see the back of his
is
head.
Is it one of the Gallagher brothers? I have to ask that first.
Famous person. No, I will give you...
There are Gallagher brothers?
I will give you this...
Well, okay.
Liam?
There's
I was thinking of the comedian.
The guy that smashes watermelons?
Well, there's...
That guy.
Well, you did too. Come as to the party.
Okay, give Gary and Earl a look. This is a famous television star. Anyone?
If I had to guess, I'd say...
Okay, now drop your pants so we can get a full look.
Yes, look at his schlong.
I'd say that guy from Saturday Night Live, what's his name, Will Friedle.
Fidel Castro.
Wolf. I think I know. I think I know who you're talking about. He plays, or used to play, George Bush. Is that the guy you're talking about?
Daryl Hammond?
No. Daryl Hammond's never played George
Bush. I don't know.
Anyone, Gary? You're always good at these games.
Finesse Mitchell.
I'd say he looks like a young Richard Burton.
He does.
Okay, I'm going to hold up this right now, and I'll let Adam announce who it is.
Chandler Bong, Matthew Perry.
Matthew.
Really? Okay, yeah. I can see it.
No,
wait, look
really.
At me again.
I can see it. Yeah.
Okay, wait.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We need to decide if it's Matthew Perry pre Coke.
Well, he goes back and forth. You've got Fat Coke? Chandler right. and Skinny Chandler. Right. So that's that's Fat Chandler right there.
I think it was more the time when you were addicted to all those painkillers.
Okay.
Right.
So, Adam, looks like a star of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
66% match, it says.
Well, that's not that great.
Is that what that scale at the bottom is?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So that means you have a 66% chance of being mistaken for him?
Yes.
I'll work on that.
Okay. So now let's look at...
It also depends on what
we've got one more right here of me. This guy, I believe he's an actor. He might be a movie director. I'm not sure.
Ron Howard.
Look at me.
Clint Howard.
Jason Schwartzman.
Wow.
And if there ever was a reason that Carrie was after me, it's because I look like this person.
John Bon Jovi?
John Bon Jovi. Okay, I'm going to vomit right now. I'm going to hand this off
Chris Hovan.
I'm going to hand this off to Adam, and he's going to tell everybody who it is.
Who is it?
Oh, really?
It's very insulting.
Oh, Mr. Sidney Pollack.
Why don't you pass it over to Gary?
I can see that a little bit.
If I was like 5
Sidney
years
Pollack,
if I was 5 years older, it'd be perfect.
What's the percentage?
Put like 20 years on you, maybe.
59% match on that one.
Oh, that's not great. Yeah.
That's creepy.
Hey, Shane.
It's very insulting.
There wasn't like a 98% Ben Stiller match.
I have such a terrible self-image as it is. I mean, I find myself just to be a disgusting,
Sidney Pollack.
I got you beat, though. Oh, I got you beat. I did something like this. 68% Jerry Stiller.
I think you and I need to go in the Ugly Dudes Club. The Ugly Jew Club right there.
I've also been told I look like Oliver Platt, so what's that mean?
Well, maybe a little bit.
You don't want to look like Oliver Platt.
You need more of a goatee.
What's wrong with Oliver Platt?
Everything.
And who does Earl look like if we look at him?
Jim Brown?
Yeah!
Fred Williams?
That's not safe.
I was kind of hoping for Charles Bronson. But
maybe a little Chuck Bronson.
Yeah.
Charles Bronson.
Guys, I'm looking at my notes, and we have nothing more to talk about in this first part of the scope. So I think I'm going to talk about what's coming up in the rest of the show. The Scope Nerd Roundtable. This is going to be big, people. It's going to be full of debate, healthy argument, excitement, maybe a little bit of adventure, maybe a little bit of comedy. We'll be talking about topics that may or may not impact the lives of nerds and geeks.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll go at it in a fun and exciting way. Right after that...
Just as a preview, is butt sex on there?
Actually, every third topic is about butt sex. Sweet. We'll have Scope Sounds, and Jared was teasing that it might be one of his songs. It might not be. Might be one of my songs that I've been working on.
I don't have the master tapes for those.
And for the people that crave regularity, we've got Under the Scope with news, a ton of reviews, and a sneak peek of all the stuff that's coming soon.
And fiber.
In your world. Reviews of such great television programs of American Idol. Deal or No Deal. The Shins' new album. And for all the Robotech fans out there that Adam so viciously maligned 2 weeks ago, the new Robotech movie, The Shadow Chronicles. I'm very excited to talk about that. So let's stop talking and then take a break, and then we'll talk again after that. This is The Scope.
Let's listen in as friends and family of The Scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, this is Jared's mother. I always knew that if I raised my boy well and instilled a proper set of traditional values, my firstborn would be a mass media star, influencing millions of listeners with his political savvy opinions and his from-the-heart verbal prowess. I'm so proud of Jared.
I do a podcast.
podcast? That's a strange name for a show. Is podcast on NPR?
No, a podcast is an audio program distributed on the internet, Ma.
Oh, well, you still influence millions, right?
I think the last show was downloaded by 15 people. Anyway, my influence is negligible.
So what you're saying is that you waste your time making a radio show with a smaller audience than most school plays. Wow, did you turn out wrong? And come to think of it, your verbal prowess is pretty mediocre. When is your voice going to drop?
Could you just read the tagline, please?
Why? So your dozen fans can hear it? Whatever. You're listening to The Scope. May I go now? I have to fix your sister before it's too late.
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope.
What happens when you gather five geeks, put them in a room, give them interesting topics, and force them to speak about said topics in an intellectual and sometimes confrontational manner? Why, it turns into a brand new edition of the Scope Nerd Roundtable. Before we start a meaningful discourse on all of the important nerd topics of the day, let's meet our panelists and discuss the format of the Nerd Roundtable. Panelist number one comes to us from somewhere south of the river in Minnesota. Burnsville, perhaps. Gary!
Gary's muted.
I'm not hearing Gary.
Oh,
and that's how he's going to spend most of the time in the Nerd Roundtable, muted. Gary, anything you're hoping to talk about today?
Whatever is anti-Earl.
Earl!
Should I say anti-Sparkle?
Anti-Sparkle. Earl, you are panelist number two. A lot of expectation from you today to bring a lot of heat.
Yes, sir. I'm anti-Gary all the way.
One topic you don't want to talk about today.
The remake of The Mechanic.
What?
Well, normally I would say you're out of luck, but I think today it's going to come work out that way. Panelist number three is Adam. He doesn't have a voice, but he always has an opinion.
Yeah.
Adam, what about the format of roundtables do you like?
That it promotes cussing at each other and yelling.
Jared, you're the smartest one in the room.
Am I?
You are panelist number four, and you're pushing buttons. You are controlling the volume and tempo of this roundtable.
Perhaps not the tempo.
Okay, I'm controlling tempo, but we don't want to put that out there. What are you looking forward to today?
I'm just looking for my voice to be heard.
And it will be. And I am your host and overseer of this said roundtable. I will pretty much give you the final word on what is right and what is wrong, so I hope you listen to what I have to say. Rules. If you are new to the roundtable, and I think all of you are because we've never done it before.
Yes.
So when we do this again, I will use the exact same content and copy. I'm sure you're wondering about the format of our endeavor. Actually, it's quite simple, Gary. I'll announce a topic, give some background, and then systematically ask our participants to respond in a timely manner. Each topic will have a set time limit, and then we'll move on to the next issue. Participants, are you ready?
Yo.
Yes.
Excellent.
Master.
And our first topic Vader. For the day is, Jared, I know this is off the cuff. Do we have any sort of sound effect that we can hit?
That's all I got.
That's our flourish. Topic number one. I like that. Movie remakes. Some believe retreads of past films are colossal wastes of time, while others think these remakes are like any other film. Some are good, some are bad. Panelists, should there be a constitutional ban on every movie remake? We will start with Gary.
No, there should not, because there have been good remakes out there.
Give us one.
The Ten Commandments.
What?
The ultimate remake, I think is absolutely right. And quick question, Gary, is that a pussy on your lap, or are you just happy to see Earl?
A little bit of both.
Fantastic. Jared, you're a big fan of movie remakes. You see them all the time. You have most of your DVD collection consists of movie remakes.
I only buy films if they're remade. I figured that they couldn't get it right the first time. I mean, really, the second time would be much better. I don't think there should be a constitutional ban, but I think that you need to be very, very, very careful about it when you're remaking. Have respect for the original material, and only do it if it really, really needs it. Like if it's some really super obscure film that maybe nobody's ever seen before.
I agree with that. Earl,
Jared,
you always have an opinion on things.
Oh, Jared hit it right on the head, man. I wouldn't go for a constitutional ban against Remake, because like Gary said, there's some good ones, like The Thing, Cape Fear, so on. But reimagining, that needs a ban.
Now, what does that mean exactly? Please.
Reimagining is where they basically take the title of a film and then do nothing about a remake. Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that remake was...
What about Dawn of the Dead?
Like Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, yeah, Teen Wolf 2. Dawn of the Dead was beyond terrible.
See, I really loved Dawn of the Dead, both the original and the remake.
But you could have called it something else, and nobody would have known.
Dawn of... Oh, 1 second, Earl, I'm going to pause you. Yeah. Dawn of the Dead, was that the movie that had the fast-running zombies? The remake?
One of the few unpopular films, yes.
But I saw that movie with you, and you liked it when we walked out of the theater. What is the story?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I think you're reimagining things.
I'm not reimagining anything. I remember exactly, and you said, wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
You didn't say it's terrible, just like you said right now.
It wasn't bad. You know what? That's on my scale.
Are you trying to put him in a box?
Like, I think he's in a box. Look at him in a box.
No, I told you.
Nobody puts Earl in the corner.
Whoa, nobody puts me in the corner. You know, you talk like a little ass kicker.
I don't know what that means.
But I'm not convinced yet.
Earl, I feel over time you've forgotten.
No, I the film wasn't bad as in the sense of how it was put together, but...
What does that mean?
It means
with screws?
They had the camera in focus. They kept it in a spot.
They managed to get a film print made of it.
They did.
Yeah, they managed to get a film print there. Problem was, it's just fast zombies are... You know, well, we'll have them fast for this part, but when we're stuck in a stairwell trying to get a door open, suddenly they're slow.
That never happened in that
movie.
You are forgetting the movie,
too. I remember it word for word.
I feel like we've gotten off topic a bit.
So, Earl, Fast Zombies is where the movie lost credibility for
I guess
you.
I should have had that as a topic.
Not the fact that there were zombies.
Topic number two. Fast Zombies.
Holy shit.
Good or bad, Jared?
I like Fast Zombies. I think that they added a nice element of... I don't know. It takes a zombie genre and makes it a little more relevant and more exciting.
Adam, Fast Zombies.
What do you want from me?
I hate zombies as a genre in general. They're dumb.
Zombies are dumb.
I mean, they're dumb in movies and they're dumb in... Was this actually a topic?
They're awesome in books.
Possibly.
Okay. Yes, The Walking Dead or Waking Dead, whatever it is.
Did you see Shaun of the Dead?
The Anita Blake series.
Shaun of the Dead
is
not a zombie movie. It's a comedy
World War Z.
Oh, now he's getting...
Earl, put on the brakes. We're talking about Fast Zombies, not British zombie movies. Anyway, Gary, Fast Zombies.
I don't understand that.
Is there a place in this world for Fast Zombies?
Yes, there is.
Some might
I think there needs to be a place in this world for left-handed zombies, though.
Yes.
You don't see enough left-handed zombie flicks out there.
Did you see the remake of Dawn of the Dead with Fast Zombies?
Well, you just said you liked it.
I did. I liked it.
Okay, that's there you go.
Thanks for paying attention to me.
Yeah. Why'd
you paid attention
good job,
to Sparkle.
Ringmaster.
Gary, Fast Zombies, good or bad?
Good and bad.
Wow, simultaneous. I like your duplicity.
I don't think Fast Zombies equate to a good film. I think, you know, everything around it equates to a good film. But Fast Zombies, Slow Zombies, it doesn't matter to me as long as the film itself works. And
as long as I
want to
eat brains.
Worked.
Earl, you've told me many times that zombies should never move fast. Defend your position.
They can't move fast. They're zombies. And the word zombie freaking means sleepwalker.
Zombies means made-up creature, the last time I saw
it. No, zombie is the voodoo word, man.
Well, let's be fair. The fictional characterization of a zombie is far removed from the original voodoo origin.
Well, that's true. But
just like the Dracula myth.
If you're gonna
Everything's
tell me
changed
some...
on the Dracula myth over the last couple hundred years.
I've always wondered if he can't see himself in the mirror... How can he always be good looking?
And can he run fast?
He's gay. He's inherently
good looking. They're very clean people. No, I'm saying if a zombie came running at you, he'd fall apart because he's freaking dead.
But let me ask you this, Earl.
Okay,
this is a serious question.
What's a serious?
As long as something like that is held consistently throughout the movie, what does it matter if they run fast or slow? I mean, if it's a part of the plot and it's, you know, not taken out of context in terms of sometimes the zombie moves quickly, sometimes he doesn't.
Well, it's gonna,
why does it matter if he runs fast or not?
You're going to need a good setup.
And if you say if zombies would if they would fall apart, I mean, you have living dead running around. I mean, that in itself is like a flying man.
Laws,
it doesn't really matter.
If the laws stay consistent in the universe that it is made in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say a slow-running zombie, if they're rotting, is probably going to fall apart just like a fast-moving zombie
would.
And they do. Uh-oh, Adam's getting bored.
Oh, sorry. What's the next topic?
Next topic, duplicity. Good movie or bad?
Go right now. I'm reading every topic from the previous topic. This is one that might cause a little bit of controversy in the room. Reality television programs. One of the most controversial types of television program is the reality show. I did air quotes with that. While many reality television programs have lost popularity in recent years, some still live on. Is there a place for reality TV, or is it slowly destroying the very fabric of humanity? Gary.
Why do I always have to go first?
You went second the last time.
Oh, I guess.
And third to first.
I think there is a place, as long as it's done well. The reality shows I have a problem with are the ones that deal solely with the emotions, like the dating reality shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think those are lame, but if there's good, healthy competition involved...
It's good. Now, let me ask you...
It could be good.
But then it's a game show, then. It's not really a reality show,
right? Well, game shows were the original reality television, though.
I agree.
Like, I still watch Survivor. I enjoyed Survivor, but it's all about getting to that final goal and whittling off other people.
Speaking of Survivor, what do you think of sea snakes?
I hate snakes in general.
Well, the next season, full of sea snakes.
You mean the current season?
Mm-hmm. Current season. It started Thursday.
Yep.
It was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Not watching.
Jared, you've started to watch reality programs lately.
Here and there.
When you haven't in the past. What say you, sir?
I'm in favor of reality programming when they're upfront about the fact that they're manipulating the people on the show and that they're creating situations to get the reaction that they want to see on screen. Ones that are supposedly about just observing what's going on when they're not really upfront about, oh, they did this or they're doing this or they're editing it this way.
Would you give me an example of a program like that?
I think like The Real World is something where you know they're being manipulated and they're editing it for get the kind of reaction that they want to see.
Events shown out of sequence, perhaps.
Sure.
You know, a guy with a long haircut and then all of a sudden he's bald and next thing he's got long hair again, Earl.
That might be an extreme example, but yes. But something like a Survivor where you know upfront that it's a game and that they're putting them in these situations to see how they react. I like that.
Earl?
Yes, sir?
You don't watch a lot of network programs.
No.
This whole topic's got to have you going bonkers.
No, I do have something to say on reality television.
Please,
Earl watches the Game Show Network, though, so he...
Hell yeah.
That's reality.
That is reality.
But that's good reality, because you're getting real stuff on that.
Supermarket Sweep.
Reality shows nowadays are just so planned and manipulated.
So you're saying game shows of the past were not planned and manipulated?
No, they just had people come out, and they gave their answer, and...
Gene Rayburn, true story, he made up every single question right on the spot.
Whoa.
Earl, where's the weirdest place you ever made whoopee?
On the couch you're sitting on, right there.
Yes.
I thought I
weird.
Sat in the wet spot.
No, I'm out of my main
Wow.
It's my house, damn it.
Whoa. Now,
please.
I don't like reality TV shows.
I don't like
Have
reality,
you ever watched
period.
One?
Yes, when I come over to your house, I somehow end up watching some.
It's amazing.
I dislike American Idol, though.
Well, you're going to be in for a treat because we have a fantastically long review of it coming up later in the program. Adam, you watch reality television. You love The Real World. You've never given up on that program.
Right.
Please
I love it for the same reason that you maybe hate it with...
Don't bring me into this. I haven't given the final word on this yet.
Just about like how it's clear that it's manipulated. But, I mean, at the same time, whores are whores and, you know, assholes are assholes. So it's like... I think it only goes a little far, or you know, only goes a little bit in
so
making
far.
People look. Yeah, so far, that's the term.
Why are you making him speak, Shane? You clearly, hear his voice is out of whack.
Yeah, jerk.
If there's please.
But shows, I do have mixed feelings like on shows like My Super Sweet 16, just because of how terrible they make people look. But at the same time, like
want to be on that program.
Well,
that's what scares me.
I think that people. I don't think that they're that bad. I think that the people that go on there are like, well, people will remember me more if I'm an asshole on here, so I'm going to go on and be a huge bitch. You know, people in my real life aren't just going to laugh with me.
You think those kids are all spoiled anyway?
I think they're spoiled, and I believe that they can act that way because everyone allows
them. They have a huge sense of
entitlement.
They
have a camera in front of them.
I have to hope that's not fully the case. Like, because if I was on that show, I would totally play it up. I'm not spoiled. I never had, you know, a lot of things.
Yeah,
would
your parents have paid that kind of money for a
big
party?
I don't believe for a second that MTV doesn't pay for almost all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Wait, Earl's on a lot. Earl, say, oh, yeah, again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Say it again.
Oh, yeah.
Just go back
and
do this a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're glib.
So what's the final word, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
That they're okay.
They're okay. And you know what? And the correct answer to this is, yes, reality programs are fine. Just like regular programs, there are good and there are bad. And there's a place in this world for both. So let's all hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and go on to the next topic. Who's hotter, roundtable? Rosie O'Donnell or Star Jones? We will start with Adam.
Woo! Hotter. You got to give it like right now?
Sexier.
Right now?
Right now.
Oh,
yeah. Sexier? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really hard. Like, who would I rather bang? Like that?
Hey, you create the situation any way you want to. I wouldn't go that far.
I gotta work on that one.
So if you have both of them standing next to each other, who is cuter?
Cuter. Star's got like an alien face.
Like a bird alien.
Yeah.
And Rosie's got a giant head.
And she is a lawyer. So, I don't know. I guess Rosie O'Donnell.
Earl? Hotter. Star Jones, Rosie O'Donnell.
We're talking pre-operation or after?
Right now. If they were standing in front of you.
Oh, my God.
It's not hard. Just pick someone. No one's going to look.
It's definitely
you can't
not
win either way.
No one's going to look down
on
you.
I'm going to.
You should have had three. You could have done MDK.
MDK?
Remember when we did Murder?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mary. MFK.
MFK, yes.
Ah, shit. I'll hold my nose and go to Rosie.
Rosie O'Donnell. Okay, let's go to Gary. I was going to mention something about race, but...
you know, I was gonna say originally Tracy Morgan is Star Jones.
I'm a lawyer.
I love that scene at the beginning of the fake view where he's putting a wig on. Yeah. He does a double take of the camera.
I would, but in real life, I would have to go with Rosie.
Rosie O'Donnell. And let's go over to Jared, who is the expert on all things beautiful.
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell, but the lights are off and I'm loaded on Hennessy.
Hey, you stole my answer.
Word for word.
Word for word. You got my script. The correct answer is Rosie O'Donnell. Did anyone say Star Jones?
No.
No.
We're all in agreement. Congratulations, roundtable. A point for us.
What my actual fantasy would be is Rosie O'Donnell while watching the video of Star Jones getting hit with the football in the face.
One of the best videos ever. We've got a really controversial topic coming up.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to start talking about it right now. It involves Gary. A few weeks ago, Scope superfan Gary attacked our pick of Snow Patrol's Arms Open as Album of the Year. He called it pussy music and made us feel small. Gary also listed a number of bands that he felt were much better, including Mates of State and Regina Spektor. Let's listen to a clip of Regina Spektor.
1 second.
It makes my heart.
He's bobbing his head like a bobblehead.
The Scope Roundtable.
Wait, I got a question.
No, I'm reading the topic. Put your hand down. The Scope Roundtable must ask, Regina Spektor, pussy music?
I'd call it the pussiest of pussy music. There's not even an instrument being played by her. It's almost a cappella. It's just, almost a cappella.
Earl, you can talk if you do an imitation of that song right now.
It was like a gay Woody Woodpecker.
Gary, defend yourself. You can't.
Myself. Yes, I can. Because
no, cut him off.
You guys. Oh gosh, Snow Patrol. Ugh. Come on, you gotta play the whole song and listen to the whole song.
We're playing it. Here we go.
You're right, Adam. So a cappella. Do you understand the meaning of the word a cappella?
There's a tambourine somewhere in there, Joe. So I'm sorry.
That was perfect timing. That could be the most pussy passage of any song I've heard in the last year, Gary. Let's be real about that. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah. Man up, bitch.
I'm not saying it's bad. So, I'm just saying that is pussy music.
So you're saying a female singing is pussy music?
No, we're saying Regina Spektor singing is pussy music.
How do you get that? How do you get that?
Well, I don't... Pussy music kind of is... The connotation of that is wussy.
Okay.
You know, not strong.
Yeah, and a guy's singing a certain way, like your top album of the year, that's pussy music because those guys are not strong.
Wait,
she's got emotion in there, at least, when she's singing.
Who is the top album? Who is who do you say was
he doesn't like a band called Snow Patrol.
And I never said I didn't like them. I just said, top band, come on.
Snow Patrol sounds like something, a really bad sex move that you
does
don't
it?
Want to be involved with.
No, it doesn't.
Actually, I created that move. It involves a...
You don't want to know that you created...
Sexy
the,
time,
blowjob like
69.
Man. Like the snowball. Like nasty.
Well, only
we've all seen
Clerks,
you know.
Let's go. Jared, defend Snow Patrol, album of the year.
I really enjoy the album. I listen to it, you know, just probably once a month at least, and I don't know. I like it. And it could be pussy music, but it's good.
Hey, can we have some Snow Patrol? I want to get in on this.
Wait, are you gonna play some Mates of State now, too?
I don't have everything on.
I didn't pull Mates of State. But
let me check. I got my iPod. I'll give it to you during
let
the
me
break.
Check my profit system.
It's not there.
Nope.
That's a radio biz thing right there, Gary. It's crazy. I think that Gary was a little harsh on us. All right, that's how I feel.
Didn't you already finish this conversation with the last episode telling me to shut up when I wasn't even here?
That's why you're here now.
Yeah.
You can really defend yourself.
Somebody's a little better today.
Gary, it's all a bit. Come on, relax a little bit. That's the magical thing about music. Everyone can disagree, but on this show, the hosts are right.
At least you didn't say McPhee had the best album of the year.
Who?
Catherine McPhee.
Wow. So you're saying that Snow Patrol is close to Catherine McPhee?
Is that even out yet?
Yes, it just came out, I believe.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
It's terrible.
I hear she looks hot now.
It's no guar.
Well, I wouldn't kick that bulimic girl out of bed for eating crackers. Well, I might if she was eating crackers, but...
No. I know where to put that cracker.
Okay, let's continue with the roundtable. We're not getting answers, but boy, are we getting heat and fire. Eclipsing the war in Iraq, the blight in Darfur, and Britney's crotch, nothing has caused more controversy than Michael Bay's upcoming adaptation of the Transformers cartoon.
Ooh, I didn't see this coming.
The roundtable asks, is there room in the world for this movie, or should Michael Bay be sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean? We'll start.
Doesn't James Cameron love the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean?
We will start with Adam.
You know, despite all the jokes we made like on the New Year's and pre-New Year's show, I don't actually think it's going to be a good movie. But I don't know. He can make it. There's my strong opinion.
Wow. Hard hitting every time. Gary, I don't know if we've heard your opinion on the Transformers movie.
Other than what I wrote in the email.
Yeah, but I mean, like live.
Live.
Off the cuff.
I can't read it online.
I think it's got to be better than the original cartoon movie.
I'm going to take the headphones off and punch him.
Are you saying it has to be better, like he needs to make it better than that? Or are you saying that it will be better no matter what?
I think it has to be better, right. Just knowing where the original one came from. But I loved the TV show growing up. I watched them nonstop.
What is it about the original 1987 Transformers cartoon movie did you not like?
Everything.
What's with this?
Did you like it as a kid?
I did not like it as a kid.
See,
that's interesting.
I thought I liked it as a kid.
I loved the TV show as a kid, and then I went and saw the movie, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's...
Now I have to buy all new toys, because all my favorites are dead.
That's when they dropped, and you became a man.
Orson sighed.
Wow.
I may have liked it as a kid, but
you did like it as a kid.
Maybe. I don't know. But I watched it again recently, and it's awful.
It is terrible. And I can watch it as...
Let's go over to Jared.
Are we talking about the original cartoon movie, or are we talking about the new
one? Talk about the original cartoon and then segue into the new movie. Is there room on this planet for both?
I think there is. The original cartoon I know and love. The movie, as Adam says, you watch it today as an adult, and it's terrible. But if you look at it with the fondness of a child, it's still fun to watch. And that's my opinion.
You got the touch.
Exactly.
That's the good thing about the movie.
It was breaking loose.
Here's the thing about the movie that has allowed me to make my peace with it. Which movie are we talking about? The brand new movie. To me, it's no different than any of the other iterations of Transformers that have come since the original show. Beast Wars, all of the different toy lines,
Energon,
different comics,
robots in disguise.
It's constantly being reinvented, constantly being I'm not going to say reimagined, but there's always different variations.
And they usually have a Megatron, and they usually have an Optimus
Prime. They tend
Prime.
To have characters, the names that they reuse, and some of the characteristics they reuse, but, you know, they're completely different vehicles. They look different. I don't see how this movie's any different than that.
I was also a really big fan of the Marvel comics, too, growing up.
Well, you could buy reprints of those today.
Fantastic.
You can.
Earl, you are an opinionated fellow.
Rom was better.
You've got things to say, and I know you've got things about Transformers, so please
blow
the roof off of the joint.
I don't know why everybody
explode.
I'm trying to figure out why everybody hates the Transformers, but is looking forward to this Transformers movie, but probably because...
Wait, Earl.
Who said they hate the Transformers?
Who said they hated the Transformers?
Oh, y'all talking...
No, we all loved it as... We all loved the original cartoon.
But y'all hate the movie now.
No!
I like the movie. The movie was groundbreaking.
The movie, if you look at it as an adult with rational... eyes, it's not a great movie. It's just a bunch of scenes with music tacked on.
What?
I mean, there are some moments that are great, you know, the death of Optimus Prime.
Yeah,
and
the beginning and the end of that thing are dynamite.
Yeah, but everything in the middle's garbage.
Well, they gotta fill it, but I agree, but they're all the animated movies like that.
And the animation isn't that great.
What?
It's not. It's terrible. It's just a bit over the TV show. Earl, I'm sorry. I know we're friends.
But what's funny is I loved the TV show.
And I still love the TV show. And I still like the movie. I own the movie. I will watch the movie. But as an adult, I can't go and say that that is a great movie.
There are critics out there that say the movie is just a rehash of the Star Wars story. Thrown in with robots. What say you to those critics?
Everything is a rehash of the Star Wars story, which is a rehash of every other basic.
Critics are freaking out.
Which is a rehash of Hidden Fortress.
Well, Star Wars is a rehash of Hidden Fortress, but the movie, I've read up a lot about this
movie. Which is a rehash of the Bible.
Okay, Earl, you've done a lot of research on this movie.
I've seen
your blogs. I know you are a man that likes to get to the answer before you give your answer.
Talk about how it's a different reincarnation, but I'm sorry, it's Generation 1. When you got Spike and Bumblebee on Earth, Modern day. And all the other incarnations have tied in to the main show.
One comment, Earl. Is Spike in this movie? For sure?
Yes.
Okay. And I just want to interrupt
but they're
you.
Naming it, but they're basing him also off the comic book. Because in the comic book, it was, Spark Plug? No.
Yes.
Buster.
Quick one more interruption. For all of you hot girls listening right now who are being totally turned on by this conversation, if you'd like to date any of the single people in the room, please feel free to send an email. Go ahead, Earl. Finish.
What happened?
That was a comedic flourish.
Oh, I see. Totally disrupted the flow.
I think Taken is a separate iteration of Transformers, the movie.
But it should
stand on its own 2 feet
and be
judged.
Gary and Jared, I respect both of your opinions, but I think we need to pass the baton to Earl and let him just finish what he was saying, because I've so rudely interrupted him and ruined the program.
Yes, you did. But that's okay. We'll fix it. I'll fix it.
10 seconds!
The problem is the story reads more like GoBots. It doesn't have anything of the essence of Transformers in it.
What is the story of GoBots?
GoBots are, they just came to Earth to duke it out, and they made friends with a bunch of humans. Transformers has more of a long-going war. Both races are dying out due to the war. They crash-landed on Earth, and they have no way home. That's a good thing to build it up. I'm not saying it had to be just like the cartoon show, but there's so many things you can build from it. Like Batman Begins. There's no comic like Batman Begins, but they took the essence and the mythos and the legend and managed to make a great film.
And Earl, I'm going to interrupt you real fast just to clarify some of your points. This past week on a lot of the comic book websites, there was a 6-page preview of the Transformers the Movie prequel comic.
Ooh, I missed that.
And they, in fact, do establish that there was a long, long-running war between the Autobots and Decepticons, so it is not something where they're just on Earth battling. And I believe they are on Earth looking for energy. Of energy source.
No, there's something. They haven't revealed what it is, but
it's
there's something Earth has that they're going. But they land modern.
Probably
day.
Hooters franchises.
Probably.
Much like Mars, they need women.
It'll be oil, and it'll tie into the war in Iraq.
It probably will.
It probably will because
find Osama, Optimus. Use your scanners.
He's running for president. Oh wait, that's
the
Obama.
Transformers actually don't show up to about page 80 in the script, so it's just going to be
the script, though. You know sorry.
Jared, please talk.
Yeah, Jared, hit me.
Well, I'm trying to let Earl finish, but it's like I don't trust the script as what the end result will be, because you know how everything changes in editing.
Can you say that again? My headphones cut out right when you said that.
I'm saying I don't trust the script as an indicator of what will end up on the screen, because everything changes in editing.
That's not what you said. You said Earl has a nice package.
I did, but I didn't want him to hear it.
It's all right. I know. I can tell by the look in your eyes.
I have the pictures.
So, Gary, does this new Transformers movie negate old Transformers? Does it take power away from the original Transformers comic book and cartoon?
I don't think so. I think it should, like I said before, it should be considered its own entity.
Earl, do you consider it
as a parting
and worship it?
Does a movie like this take away from what happened in the past?
It does. It's just gonna.
How does it though? I'm just curious.
Because, see, the thing with movies is movies are so big and so powerful that they hit a much larger audience, and they have the ability to reinvent how things are perceived.
Whereas I think if you don't end up liking it, you can just take it out of your idea of the canon of Transformers.
But the problem is it's always going to be there. For example, if I want to talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Or Son of the Pink Panther.
Or Son of the Pink Panther.
You can take Son of the Pink Panther out and still love the original Clouseau.
But here's the problem. I talk about it, game, set, and match. Everybody always brings up the remake. And it's like I talk about the Italian Job. People say, you like that? No, the original. Get Carter. You like that? No, the original.
I like the Italian Job.
The remake?
Yeah.
You should see the original. It's awesome.
I've seen both. I really like the new one.
I'm sorry.
See, Earl always says that. He always says he's
They're
sorry.
So different, though. I mean, how could they...
That's what I mean. That gets into reimagining. You could have called
Thomas
that...
Crown
I think, but I think you can enjoy them. I think you can enjoy them both. They're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
I like the new one
And
more.
The same thing should be said for Transformers or even the Star Wars movies. You can still love the original trilogy, even if you don't necessarily enjoy the prequels.
Well, which version of Star Wars are you going to like?
That's for another topic.
That's a whole other topic.
That's a whole show. That's for the Star Wars roundtable.
Give me a bottom line, Earl, and then I'm going to say one thing to finally close this.
All right, the bottom line is, if you're going to make it Transformers, make it Transformers. If you're going to call it something, don't make it something else. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to tell you here?
No, because Beast Wars still exists.
Beast Wars is tied into the continuity.
Yeah, but to be fair,
all tied into
to
the
be
continuity.
Fair, the other iterations of the cartoon that are not Beast Wars do not tie right. into anything. Robots in Disguise, the
Beast Wars, they protected the Earth.
In the Energon show, it's completely different. It doesn't tie into anything. It's not tied into the original continuity. Not tied into the continuity, Earl.
We could go into hell and bring up the whole Batman franchise and talk about all those, too.
Next nerd roundtable. But the reality is, Earl, I think that something you have to understand is that the average kid today doesn't know what the original doesn't know what we watched when we were children in 1985. So many how could you disagree? It's not
being made.
It's not on television.
Earl, the shows
the
movies,
original Transformers cartoon is out of print on DVD. So kids are not going to know
about
it.
It's going to be in print in about a month.
No, movie. I'm saying that, well, that's great in a month, but yeah. In the last 5 years.
What Earl needs to understand is the movie's not being made for him or us.
It's not being made even for Transformers fans. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's being made for a much, much broader audience.
It's being made for marketing.
If it was made just for Transformers fans, they wouldn't be spending $200+ million on it. It wouldn't be a summer release movie.
But then why call it Transformers?
Because they could market it.
Exactly. It's bullshit.
And because it has elements of the original Transformers.
It could be GoBots.
But it's not.
Just because it's a cartoon, a robot.
There's no
Psy-Kill
in it. There's no Leader One in it. Yeah. There cannot be GoBots.
There is an Optimus Prime.
There is
a Megatron.
Are there Rock Lords in it? No. There's
then
not
why don't
GoBots.
We call?
We don't know that yet.
Why don't we call Transformers Energon GoBots? It's the same thing. There's no difference between that cartoon
and
this
movie. What
I'm
trying to say is, just because a car turning into a robot doesn't make it Transformers.
But you're not hearing what I'm saying, Earl. I'm saying that there are other Transformers cartoons that are not in that continuity that you love so much that came out after that most kids...
I know that, but they're specifically making this film for Generation 1. The screenwriters and interviews said it.
But see, Earl, you could use the exact same argument for the X-Men franchise and talk about the original X-Men comics and all the different iterations of the
comic,
yes,
cartoons
they said
that are on TV.
They have, I'm sorry, Gary. I'm sorry. Please go ahead. I was interrupting you.
You know, there's a ton of different variations of X-Men cartoons dealing with different things, different universes, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. And then you have the movies, which are completely different from anything
The point
else.
Is you got you got Professor X in charge of a school of mutants. That's the basis of all of them.
But there's huge character changes in the movie that weren't in the original comic.
But they're not.
And
like Cyclops being a douchebag.
If you're going to be a comic purist, then you're going to say, I can't watch those movies. I'm going to hate those movies. If you take them as
and the same thing with Spider-Man.
And they're exactly. they don't directly follow the comics either.
And I know, and if you take them as their own entities, these are people who really love the X-Men and want to make a good movie. Yeah, things have to change. And the X-Men movies, I really enjoy the X-Men movies. I like the comics. I've been collecting freaking X-Men comics since I was like 9. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the X-Men. It's like you and Batman. You know,
no, I agree with that. And like I said, Batman.
But you agree with that, and that's I'm using the same argument
the movie,
on the
Wolverine
X-Men
still
that
had
I'm using on Transformers, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I
and
agree
Optimus
with you.
Prime still turns into a semi-truck.
Right. He turns into a really gay-looking truck.
He turns into a truck that's actually on the road today in modern times. That's the thing.
You haven't seen any semis on the road?
Not of the flat-front Mack truck variety.
Shit, I saw one last week.
Okay. I don't see them. And I'm in the transportation industry, so I see what most of the trucks are about.
Earl, you're just...
I see more trucks in a daily basis than probably anyone else in this room.
Combined.
I agree, but I saw them.
So we can agree that Earl is picking and choosing his argument to base it solely on what he wants to.
Exactly. Sparkle's saying, hey, I agree with your argument on the X-Men, but that same argument... No, the exact same argument.
The people that made X-Men.
Transformers versus X-Men doesn't hold.
Jared, write down a note. We need a sparkle sound effect.
I know. Holy shit! Listen, it's like no, a little shimmer. The point is, the people making the X-Men film actually cared about the X-Men comics.
To be fair, Earl, you can't really get in the mind of what these people are you know, what
they're
their motivation.
They're seeing a giant freaking marketing campaign. That's what they're seeing. Maybe. You're going to tell me Steven Spielberg's always loved the Transformers?
Maybe.
Whatever. He can't even say the names right.
Weren't there guys involved in the X-Men franchise that were behind some of the worst Batman movies?
You're
going to
pick on him because he can't pronounce a name right? I mean...
Dude, Lucas couldn't have any of his actors pronounce any of their characters' names right.
Didn't stop him. Okay, we talked a lot about Transformers, and I got a feeling we're going to do an entire show about it when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Adam and I were talking about the Transformer Challenge.
I still want to be there for that.
That's going to be exciting. Earl, keep being angry about the Transformers, because I think it's fantastic. And I'm not mocking you. I'm absolutely serious. I absolutely love
it. It's just the epitome of shit films coming out today.
There you go. I think you can sum it up right there. But
well, see, no matter how bad the film is, Gary's going to like it.
No, I'm not. If I think it's a crap movie, I'll say it's a crap movie.
Hey, if it on a slim chance it happens to be good,
you're the only
I'm
one that's already
it.
Made up. No, you won't. You've made
you
up your mind.
About?
And you're the only one that's made up your mind. I think everyone else is just egging you on
everybody is egging me on. Because anybody who known me long enough knows that I've seen movies that I've been hyped for and came out and said that was crap. And films that I thought that were going to be crap ended up being great.
I've seen a lot of movies with you. And I have to say that a lot of the movies that you thought were going to be bad, I would say the vast, vast majority of them. And I'm not saying that they were good or were bad.
Right.
But most of the time when you've had your mind made up, or you've thought that it was going to be bad, it's bad for you. When you walk out, I think maybe in the 10 years that I've known you, maybe one movie you've.
I'm pretty good at. Well, I watch a lot of movies.
I'm not judging you and saying you know what you're right or you're wrong or you're a hypocrite. I'm just saying that tends to be the trend with you. That's all I'm saying, and I'm not saying that.
That hurts, man. That hurts.
No. Earl, I go into movies thinking it could very well be bad, and a lot of times that's what I think. I'm not judging you, and I'm not saying you're any different than any other person.
No, I got an opinion of the movie beforehand, but the second that thing starts, mine goes blank.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see...
But when I saw the damn cop car that said... there's a Decepticon cop car,
yeah,
and they have on the side, you know how cop cars say to serve and protect? It says something like, to mangle and enslave, with a big Decepticon. I'm not kidding.
I can confirm that. I hope that's not in the movie.
It sounds cool to me.
I'm telling you right now, best picture.
It's a juxtaposition of what makes it interesting.
And the fact that a cop car is a Decepticon, that's problem number 742.
Why?
If you gotta ask.
You clearly don't know anything about Transformers, am I right?
We get it. There was an Autobot that was a cop car.
But a Decepticon can't be a cop car.
Because Decepticons are freaking air vehicles. They had to specially build cars.
Except when they're guns.
Right. Or tape recorders.
Or constructicons. So is Shockwave going to be an MP3 player?
or insects?
Right. Shockwave. Here, Megatron.
Soundwave isn't in this one.
No, because, yeah, it's Frenzy. Why they picked him, I don't know.
Good name.
But, I hear Megatron is going to be a walkie-talkie, but that's just because Spielberg's producing it.
There we go.
It's a great joke.
Okay, I'm gonna
I worked on it all night.
I'm really gonna start this up. Earl, we've got one topic left, and I'm gonna let you pick it. Actually,
I get to vote first for once.
We've got two to pick from, and both relate directly to you.
Holy smokes.
And I will just give you the title and then you tell me what it is and we'll zip through it quickly. The first one is Mike Judge's Idiocracy. I know you're excited about that, so I wanted to throw that out there to see if we want to talk about
it. Awesome film.
The second is it's something I pulled from your blog, which I found fascinating.
Holy shit.
Was your argument about the NC-17 rating. Keep in mind that is a very controversial thing. And it could be a great spark for debate.
You want me to go both or pick one?
Pick one.
I don't think we're going to argue on Idiocracy.
Yeah. Okay.
Idiocracy is an awesome movie. I think that's all there is to it.
Okay. Maybe we'll review that at some point. We'll have you in. Let's do the NC-17. Is that okay?
NC-17.
Okay. As I said, I pulled this from Earl's blog. He posted a few weeks ago. MPAA Chief Dan Glickman is encouraging independent filmmakers to make more films that would earn them an NC-17 rating. According to Daily Variety, Glickman acknowledged that producers often face a stonewall erected by exhibitors to keep out NC-17 films. He said he plans to meet with theater owners to persuade them to drop the barrier. It's one of our ratings, and I'd like to see it used more. Now, Earl, your response to this was, and I can tell you. I'm hoping you can clarify this for me because I'm confused. Isn't this like saying films aren't crappy enough, though we need to make them crappier?
Oh, you're gonna hit me with a typo?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it means. So I was hoping you could clarify that for me.
Yeah, that it's like saying we need to make the films crappier.
Explain yourself.
All right, what makes a movie NC-17?
Well, it's not for children under 17.
Have you seen this film is not yet rated? The documentary?
I want to see that.
Okay, because it's out on DVD, and there's a lot of movies that...
I heard about that, and I really want to see that.
Like, Boys Don't Cry was originally rated NC-17 for, and, you know, the movie's...
Subject matter.
Right, and it's basically all she had to cut, all she had to wind up cutting was the part where, what's her name, the main character...
Hilary Swank?
Yeah,
where Mr. Hilary
Swank,
Mrs. Ed?
Right, where she's going down on...
Big horse mouth, Gary.
Her girlfriend.
I got you on that.
They basically, like, it was too long. Like, they showed her girlfriend having, like, an orgasm. So, like, that's what they had to cut. So, like, I see where you're going with
it. How come
it.
Meg Ryan can have an orgasm?
Right, exactly. It's a straight orgasm.
Because, you know, because,
and that's another thing. You know, with the rating system, independent films suffer a whole lot more than big studio films do on the ratings.
Oh, well, I agree with that. I think what I was trying to say more than anything at that debate is the rating system is set BS. And I mean, that's why I want to see that film Adam just mentioned, because I want to see how it gets into that. But there's no standards for rating. And the other thing that makes you get an NC-17 film is like he just said with Boys Don't Cry. How would that film have been better if they included that? It wouldn't.
Well, the director, it is the film, man. The director feels like that it was a change that didn't need to be made.
Oh, you got directors wanting to put real sex scenes in movies now, though.
But it's the director of the movie, Earl. I mean, does the director be able to put whatever they wanted to a movie?
Dogma. Kevin Smith's Dogma was originally hit with an NC-17, and he was forced to make cuts because of language and subject matter.
Yeah.
There's no sex in Dogma.
Mm-hmm. Violence is comical violence.
Yeah, it was all language and subject matter.
But that's the thing. What makes an NC-17 movie is...
But I disagree with your argument that being allowed or, you know, being more free to do NC-17 would make movies inherently worse. Like, I could see movies that are like just stupid gore fests being more gory, but
that's part of the that's what most NC-17 ratings are hit with.
I kind of doubt there's so many
uncut versions coming out on DVD.
I kind of think that a lot of movie makers
Just marketing ploys.
Yeah,
that
too. I think that they'll get NC-17, so they don't even like submit their extra gory versions. They don't even bother with it.
Well, the smart director will put in the extra gory version so they can trim it down to what they want.
I think that Saw 3, which was like, I saw all three Saw movies. It was the dumbest one, but like if it had been more gory, because that's what you're going to see Saw to see a gory movie. I don't see how that makes it worse if you're seeing more gore. If you want to see a gory movie, specifically to see a gory movie, wouldn't you want to see more gore?
Oh, I agree with that.
So that doesn't make the movie worse.
Or if you're going to see a movie like Boys Don't Cry, which is about sexual content, it is about a woman dressing up as a man.
Right.
Why should that be cut out if that's what adds to the movie?
That movie's about gender and identity.
Exactly. Right. So,
and you shouldn't. Here's the thing about an R versus an NC-17. Children should not see that movie. In an R-rated movie,
and that's what an R rating is for.
An R rating says we caution you. Your kids probably shouldn't see this, but if you want to be there with them, they can see it.
An NC-17 movie says children under 17 cannot see this movie. It's saying this is truly an adult film. That's the difference between the rating.
But my argument we're talking about rating. I'm talking more about the guy saying, hey, people should make more movies with more things that can cause an NC-17 rating.
No, the way I interpret
it
is,
if you take a look at a lot of films that did come out NC-17, they're all crap.
There aren't a lot of those.
Here's my interpretation of what the guy said.
What was Midnight Cowboy originally rated?
X.
I missed the X rating.
X rating is
X has a bad connotation.
The X rating is NC-17.
Yeah,
that's why they changed it so that. It wouldn't have that stereotype of being pornographic.
Thank you, Shane.
That's why it was created. So
what's the problem with making movies that cater to people like us who are over 17 and are smart enough not to bring our children?
Miss the X rating, which really the X rating is just changed to NC-17, and now you're saying no, they shouldn't do NC-17.
I would like to point out that the movie that you want to see, this film is not yet rated, received an NC-17 or a no rating whatsoever, because when
subject
he
matter.
Right, well, that's going to make sense for that. But what I guess I'm saying, I'm against the guy. You're not listening, damn it.
No, they're not listening to me because I've been trying to make a point for the last 5 minutes and nobody wants to listen. My interpretation of what his comments are is not that he wants filmmakers to make crappier films. My interpretation is that he intends to reinvent what the NC-17 rating means. He wants it to be a legitimate rating, which is why he wants to go to the theater owners and say, listen, this is a real rating. This is intended for mature content. Please don't boycott them because it's rated NC-17. And then the other side of the coin is he's going to filmmakers and saying, look, I'm trying to make this a legitimate rating, but I need you guys to make content that shows that this is a legitimate rating. So please do that.
Yeah,
that's the way I interpret his remarks.
I don't think that there's a nefarious thing, you know.
Jared, you hit it, baby. What say you to that, Earl? Is that fair?
Not bad, but still, what makes it an NC-17 rating?
Well, maybe that's
more sex, more drug, more language. It doesn't make the film better.
How can you sit here and say that?
Boys Don't Cry is a great example.
What did you think of Boys Don't Cry, by the way?
I thought it was good.
You're saying it's going to make it worse, though. I don't understand how.
No, I'm not saying.
Yes, you literally just said that more sex, more violence will make it a crappier film.
Do you really need to see the girl have an orgasm?
Maybe you do. Maybe it's important to the story. I've not seen the film.
It wasn't important to that story. I thought the film was.
I saw the movie and
Wait, here's another good example.
It's no more disturbing than watching somebody get beaten to death.
Earl, what's the difference between a PG rating and an R rating?
We're talking like 70s PG? Because that was awesome.
What's the difference between a PG and R rating? Is it sex? Is it language? Is it violence?
Well, that's the problem I'm saying.
So your argument saying MPAA. You shouldn't go from, you know, R to NC-17 because of more language, sex, and violence, that same argument that you're using could be used theoretically for PG to R, so why even have all that stuff in it when you can just have a PG rating?
Fucking everything should be Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say that either. Shit, all you guys look at my freaking film collection, you'll know. It's like, hey, bring it on. What I'm trying to say is...
Earl just said he owns Bring It On.
I do.
Me too.
I do.
Everybody owns Bring It On.
We can all agree on it.
We do have a Bring It On film festival.
And really, with Bring It On, we all win.
Yes.
I wish it was NC-17.
That's the one thing we can all agree on.
That's all I'm saying.
Earl, what were you trying to say? And then we're going to finish this up. Enough of this.
This thing's spun so far out of control.
I know. It's fun, though. Anymore.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
What's a better film? A 70s PG or a 60s G?
60s G is pretty badass.
I don't know. I don't remember a 70s PG.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is the MPA, one, need to have standards. And if what Jared says is true...
It's true. It's
Jared. I don't know
Jared.
If it's true, but I'm just... That's how I interpreted what
that's
was said.
That's how I interpret it. And that's a better interpretation. I'm just tired of the MPA. You know, somebody makes a good film. Like, a good example is Texas Chainsaw 3. That film has absolutely no gore in it, but they refuse to give it an R rating.
And what year did that movie come out?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, we're practically 20 years removed from that. So.
But here's the thing. The point is they kept cutting scenes out to the point where the film made absolutely no sense. But yet Steven Spielberg can make,
Jew-hating.
Yeah, the Jew hating. That dirty Jew Spielberg who's raping Transformers.
I was talking about you. Come on.
What?
Go keep talking.
I forgot.
No, I understand what you're saying, but that's why there is an...
There's no set of rules. I mean, it depends on the studio. Like Gary was saying earlier, the studio and the independent
I would argue that there is a place for a historically significant film like Schindler's List or Saving Private Ryan, which tries to more accurately represent what happened.
I agree with Earl that there should be standards, and if there are standards, they should be applied... The same way.
That's
even,
what I'm saying.
Even
never.
At the same time.
Turn his mic off.
No. If you have standards, then you start to get into a situation where every frame of the film and its content needs to be quantified, and you can't really do that without the context. I mean,
but if you're going to have a rating system, you're going to have to base it off of something. You can't just pick and choose.
Has to be able to watch the film and make a contextual judgment on it.
Right. And the MPAA, with the release of... You know.
And I'm not saying they get it right all the time, but I'm saying if you just have standards like 15 seconds of blood in the scene will get you an R rating. Mm-hmm. You get this too arbitrary.
So
it doesn't work.
When I was a kid, I remember stuff like if you said the F word twice or there was a beheading or drug use, automatic R. But that goes by the wayside.
That's not true.
I think you have to be contextually sensitive.
With the release of This Film Is Not Yet Rated, the MPAA has made some minor changes in how they're doing ratings, and it's the size of the entity that's about all you can expect at this point, is little changes to overall add up to something bigger.
Yeah, most people don't care. I mean, you know, we care. And
parents don't pay attention to ratings anymore anyway. They just shove their kids in the theater and say,
come on, little two-year-old Timmy, let's go see Hannibal.
And did anybody watch Schindler's List when it was broadcast on television?
Yes.
Uncut?
Yes.
You know.
Well, yeah, there you go.
That's a very hard R movie, but
it's an R movie.
Contextually, you got to understand where it's coming from. It's historically important.
And people complain to hell, what was it, NBC that did that? And same thing when they did Saving Private Ryan.
Yep, they left all the violence and the profanity in.
Yep, and people got all up in arms about it.
Turn the channel, Earl.
There's two knobs on there.
Be a parent and turn it off, right?
That's fine. Hey, look, I'm all for it. But television, and for television, you have to keep that general viewing because anybody can watch it. It's rules, you think. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm just saying if it's television, you got to keep it clean.
There you go.
Not always.
I think we can all agree that movie ratings are interesting.
They are.
And this has been the Nerd Roundtable. Jared, is there some sort of sound we can play, or are we just going to go? There we go.
Thanks, Sparky.
Panel, I love what you added to the show. It's been long. It's been fascinating. But it's been real. This has been the Scope Nerd Roundtable, Jared, Adam. Let's go to a break. Let's play some music and come back and make it happen.
My favorite cheese is smoked Gouda.
Smoked Gouda. No, we didn't get to favorite cheese topic.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Intellectual Moment of the Day.
We had to wait a couple of times.
Now everybody's laughing, but honest to God, isn't a poop so freeing?
That was the Oprah Winfrey Intellectual Moment of the Day. Oh, no, you didn't. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Oh, yeah, we just had the Nerd Roundtable, so let's talk a bit about nerd love. From the new album, The Wrath of Khan, dropping in March, this is Possible Oscar with Talk Nerdy to Me on your number one hit leader at home for nerdly shenanigans. Keep it locked right here on The Scope.
You know, I never had much luck with girls. They never liked to read and learn. But I like to. And if I could figure out the cosine of your heart, that'd be a good start. Oh, yes, it would. I never try to date offline. Use algorithms built to find my 7 out of 9. So if you look half as great as Aaron on Farscape, you'll be my first mate. 'Cause baby, we'll be in the chat room. To me, you know I dress up like Jedi, not a Klingon, guys. My face is gonna set to fry. I'll be a fanboy in my Starfleet uniform. It matches the one worn by Leonard Nimoy. So baby, we'll be in the chat room. To me, PC, pick up that guitar and talk to me. Chat room on the IRC.
nerdy to me. That's the way I like it, baby.
Oh yeah. There's more of the scope dead ahead.
Under the scope. Under the scope, rapid fire edition. Let's start it off with the news. A lot going on in this crazy world, Adam. You're the one that makes sense of it.
We have Begin. A funny local story, not involving astronauts or diapers. So
Astronuts.
Good. Yes. Headline reads, man tries to rob Richfield Lunds dressed as a ninja.
Sweet.
This happened here in Richfield, Minnesota, home of Scope headquarters.
Yes.
Yes.
Richfield
Underground
Police.
Bunker.
Scope News Central here at Richfield, Minnesota.
Richfield police are looking for a man who attempted to rob a Lund's grocery store in Richfield Saturday evening. This would be one Saturday ago, right?
One or two. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Wow. Not last night, though.
Every Saturday he tries to rob it.
Yes. According to authorities, the suspect entered the store about 10:30 p.m. dressed in skin-tight black clothing and armed with a samurai-style sword. The suspect stood in line before he demanded the cashier turn over the money in the register, reportedly waving his sword in the air. The cashier and other customers inside thought the suspect was pulling a prank. The cashier refused to give the suspect the money, and he fled the scene. My favorite part about this, they searched the neighborhood for the suspect, but he managed to slip away into the night.
The ninja! He disappeared!
In the manner of a ninja.
That's an AP story right there.
The age of supervillains has begun.
So, Earl, next time you do that, make sure that they take you seriously.
Hey, now.
Bring throwing stars.
There's Lee Van Cleef when you need him.
There are pictures, and we'll link to the story that has the pictures on it.
Yeah, we'll have links at our site, everybody. Yes.
There's pictures of the ninja?
Yes. And he has a pretty good ninja costume, yes, too. It's not.
Is that a very good... Wait, if he got photographed, he's not very a good ninja.
Well, how can you... If it's only like two frames, and... I mean, he's like... It's like a guy head to toe. It could be anyone.
He's supposed to go Sam Fisher style, though, and knock out the lights. That's, or the cameras.
That'd be great if it was the Ask a Ninja guy.
He's a beginning. He's a beginning ninja.
Ask a Ninja!
Story number two.
Dude,
funny story on how in China, the genre of self-help books that purports to tell many secrets of making the Jewish making money the Jewish way.
Worst Jew ever.
It's the number one selling self-help book in China.
Step one, rub two nickels together.
I guess it worked. I don't know.
Wear a funny hat.
One of the books
clip
promises,
your claws.
One of the books promises the eight most valuable business secrets of the Jewish. Another one.
Adam only knows six.
So Adam, if I get a copy of that, will you sign it for me?
I will sign it for you.
Nice. The Jew.
Another title teases readers with The Legend of Jewish Wealth, while a third provides a look at Jewish people and business, the Bible of how to live their lives.
The Jews run Hollywood.
Why don't we get that book to the ninja and then you won't have to rob places?
Yeah. The Jewish ninja.
The Jewish ninja.
So
throwing bagels.
Yes.
Hey, give me your money.
Hilarity.
What else have we got, Adam? He's flipping through his stack of papers.
That is just the craziest thing.
I'm passing around the picture of the ninja, everyone.
So. Oh, hey.
Sweet. Make it the
rounds. All right, I'll comment on the ninja. Wow, he's pretty badass. He looks like a lone wolf and cub, kind of.
So another story. We have ancient boy's skeleton sparks debate on evolution in Kenya's National Museum, and he's now being, an exhibit that's being moved around through the EU. Being dubbed Turkana Boy, he's one of the oldest human skeletons ever found, and I guess it's he's dating back somewhere around 200 million years, whereas the Bible puts us at, 10,000 something? Right around there.
So there's a slight discrepancy in the date.
Yeah.
Someone's not quite adding the numbers up correctly.
Yeah, so a bunch of churches are saying how it's fake and, you know, the devil tricks, or God tries to trick us to test our faith.
Very nice.
What a trickster.
That's like a Muslim thing. That's why the Muslims can't watch Flintstones.
Adam, I just have to say...
What?
It's true.
Adam, I just have to say your voice is so clear you sound a bit like Brian Williams at NBC.
Excellent.
He does.
No Sony stories this week, by the way, guys. Sorry.
Very sad. Can we make one up? Much. What did Sony do bad this week?
Well,
I can
play the song.
I don't have it on hand.
I can give you a mini Sony story. I read this to Jared yesterday. In the new EGM, they interview president of Sony, and they pretty much tell him that you know, you can find Sony PlayStation 3s on the shelves. And he said that's impossible, and that if you, he will give anyone $1,200 for any PlayStation 3. And the interview was taped like in early January. But okay. He did say that in early January, you still could find PlayStation 3s on there.
Well, why aren't we cashing in?
Well, I guess I think he's probably broke by now.
Final story. This was published in the UK, so I'm not sure if it counts here too. But McDonald's creams Starbucks in coffee survey. Consumer testers, it's in the U.S., have declared coffee from McDonald's better than the brew at Starbucks. Burger Chain's premium roast was chosen the tastiest by Consumer Reports magazines. They also tested Burger King's and Dunkin' Donuts. The trained sippers found the $1.55 Starbucks coffee both strong but also burnt and bitter. Mm. While the cheaper McDonald's caffeine fix, which is $1.35, was decent and moderately strong.
They don't mention that.
That's
they
what Carrie tells me I am.
They said that the Burger King stuff was, quote-unquote, looked like coffee but tasted more like hot water.
Wow.
And that the Dunkin' Donuts stuff was inoffensive but it had no oomph.
That's because you're both eating the donuts.
We need Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts is actually known for their coffee as well.
I'm actually in talks about having a Dunkin' Donuts franchise in my basement.
Very nice.
There's a Dunkin' Donut way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. I love that Dunkin' Donuts.
There used to be one in
Dunkin'. I want Mr.
Like
Donuts.
East Coast. Or like
I miss Winchell's Donuts.
Yep, Winchell's.
There used to be one in Brooklyn Park or something, but it closed connection. Shortly before the, what's it called, opened.
Krispy Kreme?
Krispy Kreme opened, yeah.
Crappy Kreme?
That's it for the news.
It for the news, Jared.
Yeah?
What
does that mean?
Guess what comes after the news?
I'm not sure. Tell me.
Reviews. We have got a handful of goodness for you. How many reviews, Adam? Four?
Four.
So let's buzz through
them. Fingers of doom.
Let's do it.
All right. Which one are we going for? The Shins. Okay.
Yeah!
First review we're going to do this week is for the new Shins album, Wincing the Night Away. Just so you guys know, there's a two-page profile of the Shins in the newest Rolling Stone.
Yes, there is.
Wincing the Night Away, the third album by indie rock group The Shins, was released on Sub Pop Records on January 23rd. It's the band's final album under the label. The album is in reference to lead singer James Mercer's crippling insomnia. Wincing the Night Away is The Shins' most experimental album yet, ranging from hip-hop loops to psychedelic Hawaiian folk. The opener, Sleeping Lessons, starts out slow and dreary with warbly lyrics, but halfway through the
much
song
like your read right now.
Bursts out with energy. The band experiments with new synthesizer sounds on the album, most notably on Split Needles, which contains chopped synth samples. Wincing the Night Away debuted at number 2 on the Billboard 200 chart, which I think doesn't track top 40. It's like their other one.
I don't know.
Selling in excess of 100,000 copies. This is the highest chart position reached by not only the Shins, but the whole Sub Pop label. And that's all I got. Shane, what did you think?
Wow, you're starting with me first, so start with the best.
What's your self-opinion?
It's a rich-sounding album, Adam. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, there's a big sound to it. I think kind of an 80s Brits alternative feel to them. I'm not quite sure. And sort of ethereal at the same time. You know what I mean? I mean, it's
ethereal?
Is that the word? Thank you. I think if it was a little bit more urgent, you know, I mean, everything sort of floats on this and it meanders sometimes. It might be a little bit more up my alley, but overall, I liked it. I'm not sure how much of the album will find its way into my regular rotation in my iPod, but it's there, and I'll keep a chunk of the song, so spot on.
Yeah.
Jared?
I like this album quite a bit, and I've been a fan of the Shins. I like their first two albums, too, so I like the production was fun to listen to. It was a good use of the stereo spectrum. Things panned hard left and right, and things zooming across the soundstage. It has a nice live sound to it. It's not very dead. It's got a lot of reverb to it, which is nice. You know, and sometimes a whiny singer like that can get annoying, but I didn't find that to be the case on this album. So I like their experimental edge of that sample we just listened to with the chopped up synthesizer sounds. I think is pretty
cool.
He
does sound a little bit like Geddy Lee from Rush.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But I found it to be a very pleasing album, and I think I'll probably listen to it quite a bit.
Gary, have you listened to this album?
I have not.
Okay, we'll go right by you. Adam.
I agree a lot with what you're saying, Shane. I mean, it wasn't... I think a lot of times you and I have similar tastes in that, like, we like, you know, hook, poppy, you know...
Same sexual positions,
exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. And there's really not a lot of easily...
How dare me.
Easy to catch.
Yeah.
Easy just to kind of, like, listen to and get right into songs.
Yeah.
Which always initially makes me not like an album.
Yes.
But after I listened to it a few more times, I definitely found a good handful of songs that I liked, and even the songs I didn't like, I could kind of find at least. They're definitely, you know, listable. They're not bad songs by any means. They're just
high quality sounding album, yes. I think, is something.
The only downside to this band is they're really boring live. At least on Saturday Night Live, it's the only time I ever saw.
You know, they just played here,
yeah,
and just last week, I believe, and pretty high marks for the show overall.
I'm sure musically speaking, they're fine. Just watching them play,
they don't light the stage on fire.
Right.
But let's see if our scope score does.
The scope score is 3 stars.
I've been working on my transitions.
Very nice. Not bad.
What's next on our list of reviews, Adam?
I don't know. You have the list.
Let me look at my list.
What does the list say, Shane?
It's Robotech.
I think it's Robotech. So let's make fun of Shane. Here's my
Electric
script.
Drum.
After 20-plus years, boys, Robotech is back. And after a number of aborted attempts to continue the 85-episode quasi-anime series, the folks at Harmony Gold and Funimation have released the direct-to-DVD Robotech The Shadow Chronicles. And it's in stores right now, Adam.
Wow, I could buy it?
You could. While the average Joe may not care, Robotech fans across the globe are quite excited. As they know, Robotech has been a franchise associated with false starts and overall disappointments. They've a number of times had tried to continue the series in the past 20 years. It's always stalled out for some reason or another. So to get any new animation and an official continuation of the story is quite a big deal.
Hmm.
Adam, I suppose you're wondering what the plot of the story is.
Not really, but you can read it to me.
And this is right off of our friends at Wikipedia.
We love them.
The storyline is a direct continuation from the final episode of the original television series. In the year 2044 AD, the human race has reached out to the stars through the miracle of robotechnology, but not without bringing intergalactic war upon the Earth itself. A heroic cast of returning characters led by Scott Bernard and Vince Grant fight to end a decades-long struggle against an enigmatic... I can't even say it.
Enigmatic?
Thank you. Alien race
Ethereal?
Known as... Shut your mouth. As the Invid.
Enigmatic.
Turn your mic off, Jared.
Enigmatic.
Enigmatic. However, the mysterious disappearance of the legendary Admiral Hunter will unfold in a treacherous mystery that could tear apart our young heroes and threaten their very survival.
Rick Hunter's back?
He is back in this, Gary.
He's an
I won't spend.
What about
any...
Rick Springfield? How's he doing?
He's
General Hospital still.
Yes, he's looking for Jesse's girl. I won't spend any time with clips or in-depth analysis. It probably won't mean much to non-fans. So a quick couple of bullet points and then a score. This show has a combination of CGI and cell animation. Cell animation is pretty good. CGI is fairly poor. That's because they had a limited budget.
Hmm.
They say in future installments of this. Because this is doing so well, they will have better animation and hopefully.
Is it kind of like what you saw in like Futurama? Where
no,
it was,
it's not that good. It's
not that good.
They don't.
Okay.
It's not. The problem is, it's not really cel shaded animation.
Ooh.
So it looks more like real shiny planes flying around in space and stuff like that.
So it doesn't match.
I don't know if I like
it doesn't match quite as good. But you know, they do have scenes of like the characters inside of it, and I think that looks okay. The storyline is respectable, and it's an amalgamation of new and long forgotten plot lines. Still, it would be confusing to most non-fans, and actually, fans probably would have a little bit of a hard time just because they tie in a lot of stuff to the novels and some of the comic books. It's not necessarily needed, but it certainly helps fill in the backstory. The voice cast is pretty good, though. Pretty much everyone who was in the original show returned, and there's a bunch of new voice actors like Mark Hamill's in it, doing what he does.
Doing the Joker?
He's doing a bad guy and a character that doesn't live for very long. The music is probably the strongest part of it, a big orchestral score and a reimagining of a lot of the original themes.
We know how that reimagining goes.
Yes. Plan B. And open-ended finale sets up future installments. So get ready for more if you like this. If you're a fan, go buy it because you will help support the Robotech franchise. So there you go. Gary, you like Robotech?
I like Robotech.
Would you buy this for $19.99?
Probably not.
Is well, it a movie?
It is a movie, and okay. It actually was released to like film festivals and stuff like that. Okay. So yes. Let's give this a scope score, Jared, and move on to our next review.
The scope score is 3 stars.
And that is for fans. So people that don't know much about Robotech, it probably would be a lower score and might not mean as much for you, but support it anyway. That's what I say.
Are you saying they should have reinvented it, maybe?
I am not saying they should reinvent it, but I could see if they wanted to reach a wider audience, that could be a path.
What about reinvigorating it?
How would they do that?
I don't know. Maybe they could reintroduce it.
Wasn't the original Robotech just a reinvention anyway?
It was really, a combination of three original Japanese animated television programs.
It was a reintegration.
That they Our next review is for the television program. Earl's favorite, American Idol. Start reading.
When did it become my favorite?
Today.
I didn't get it.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this tiny little show on Fox Network.
It's got some buzz, I hear.
It's called American Idol.
No, that's just
And it's
Paula.
Back for its 6th season. And Shane Scripps says that millions of fans could not be happier. Randa, Polly.
Randa. I love Randa.
Polly Shore's on now.
Randa and Polly Shore.
You go, Doug.
Other door.
Randy, Paula, and Simon restart their search for the best undiscovered talent in the U.S. of A. The judging trio, along with Dick Clark wannabe Ryan Seacrest, traveled to a number of cities across the country, weeding through thousands of delusional hopefuls just to find a handful of potential stars. Since this is the scope, and very much like any other show, we're not going to spotlight anyone who can actually sing, only the whack jobs for us, and Best Week Ever, and The Soup. And yeah.
Ripping on his own show.
Let's listen to one particularly clueless guy as he belts out Stevie Wonder's classic Superstition.
What are you going to sing?
Superstition by Stevie Wonder.
Okay, thank you.
You're going to love this. Yeah, there's superstitions. Yeah, running down the wall. Whoa, there's superstition. Whoa, whoa. I got ladders about to fall.
Whoa.
13 months old, baby. Broke the looking glass. Yeah, 7 years of bad luck. Yeah, there are good things in your past.
Thank you. Whoa. Thank you. Well, I didn't understand a word of that.
Wow.
It seemed like something was getting lost in translation.
Did not make it.
I will give you credit, Shane. I have not heard that or seen that on any other show.
That's funny.
Yeah.
he could at least hold a note. That was good. And it wouldn't be American Idol with a bit more criticism from the judges. Listen in as they do their best to destroy dreams.
One of the worst I've ever heard.
So that would be a no?
It was almost non-human.
It was really, really bad, dude. Out of tune, bad tone, weird tone, actually. Not pleasant. None of the things you want singing to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sweetheart.
All right, good looking out, man.
Not pleasant.
Aren't you going to tell the story about how they cried over the old man?
Other two.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
Time is running out, Earl.
With American Idol shifting format, what? Oh, putting the spotlight on the talent and the actual competition, the real battle begins. So if terrible delusional singers aren't your thing, the next phase of AI might be
artificial
for you.
Artificial intelligence.
Right.
Yes.
Haley Joel Osment.
Acrimonious
ratings,
interview.
The ratings powerhouse, known as American Idol, can be seen Tuesday and Wednesday nights on your local Fox Network affiliate. On to the reviews.
Spill it, Jared.
This is my first year watching American Idol from the beginning. My initial impression was very favorable. I enjoyed watching the terrible auditions and the occasional good ones, but I think that 3 weeks is maybe too long for that. That's just my opinion. I got tired of it and wasn't really looking forward to it. But the actual competition begins next week, and I'm very excited for that. So it's above average so far.
The show pretty much has its formula down, everybody. So you know what you're going to get. It's like Survivor. It goes in, takes care of business, and gets you out feeling like you're getting what you want. Let's be honest about it. Simon is the star of the show. He always will be. Everybody else just makes him look better than what he is, I think. And what I like about this show is I think it's a family-friendly show, and anybody can get into this, and I wouldn't have a problem letting my daughter watch this if she understood what it was and wasn't more impressed by Dora the Explorer. The one con I have to throw out is that the best singer, the person that probably should win, never does. So if you
no,
that's America always gets it wrong, except for the first season when they pick Kelly Clarkson, who was the best singer of the of that particular season. So it's always disappointing at the end, Jared.
Yeah,
but will our score be?
I don't know. Does Adam get to talk?
No. He didn't. He's never watched.
I've only watched the first Minneapolis one.
What about?
Oh, Earl has something to say.
Earl?
Please,
I,
Earl.
No, I have a question.
Yeah,
I don't watch the show.
Time for
I,
questions after the show's over.
No, it's got to be quick. I noticed there were four people sitting at the table now.
Sometimes
picking on singers.
Yeah, sometimes they'll have like a special famous guest in there. This year they had Jewel and Olivia Newton-John, and then
and that weird
Carol something. Yeah, yeah, like a big famous songwriter who was married to Burt Bacharach.
Isn't it weird that they had Olivia Newton-John on while that Grease show is on?
It is a little weird.
And yeah, she was on that too.
Yep.
Oh, weird.
Hmm. Interesting.
Score.
The Soap score is 2.75 stars.
I think that's pretty good. Pretty good for a reality show, and Gary's is fondling himself right in front of everyone.
I told you.
It's very strange. Let's get to the random review.
Anymore.
Hit that random review button.
Okay, here it is. Hold on. Got it.
Get ready for the random review of the week. It could be appalling. It could be incredible, but it's always unpredictable. The random review of the week.
As a refresher, we selected the television program Deal or No Deal in our last show, and we are here to review it. Adam, read your text and keep that voice clicking.
Okay. Deal or No Deal is a television game show format owned by Endemol, a Netherlands-based production company known for creating such shows as Big Brother and Fear Factor. The basic format of Deal or No Deal consists of a number of cases, usually 26, as is the case here, but varies in different countries. It's on in like 50 countries.
Very popular.
Yes. Each containing a different amount of money. Not knowing the sum of money in each case, the contestants pick one case which potentially contains the contestant's prize. The contestant then opens the remaining cases one by one, revealing money at that each one contains. At predetermined intervals, the contestant receives an offer from the bank run by the banker.
Air quotes.
Very odd.
To purchase the originally chosen case from the contestant, the offer being based on the potential value of the contestant's case. So how much is left, you know.
And this has been cases. How to play Deal or No Deal with
the
Adam.
The contestant must then decide whether to take the deal from the bank or to continue opening cases. It's a very popular show here in America, too. The episode we all watched was pretty boring. So instead, here's a clip from the episode that aired on February 5th.
Please welcome the next player, Giuseppe Iannello. Giuseppe! How are you, Giuseppe?
Hey, sounds good.
Welcome, Giuseppe. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is Papa Giuseppe. I'm from Sicily. I'm 100% Italian.
Really?
Get him back.
Who hosts the show, by the way? Do you have that in your
show? Okay. Howie Mandel hosts the show.
Okay.
And I saw like a commercial for next week's, maybe next Monday's.
Yeah.
And Bobby from Bobby's World shows up, you know, like the cartoon.
Yeah.
And he says Deal or No Deal, but I mean, Howie does the voice.
Oh, so. No.
Anyone have a Bobby impression they want to unveil?
Gary, you've been known for
I might
Bobby
be able
impression.
To if my voice was normal.
you're admitting that?
That's
pretty good. Very nice.
Hey, sounded a lot like
Howie Mandel cannot die with dignity.
He's making so much money on this.
Deal or No Deal.
Dignity has nothing to do with it.
We couldn't include it because it would have taken about another 45 minutes, but that guy, you know, super Italian, very yep. ethnic guy, brought yep. his entire family yep. on, and there were like 500 people with
500
him.
500 I mean, Giuseppes.
Like, he was
like
being stereotypical.
Yes, he was incredibly stereotypical. Yep. It was ridiculous.
He said "Mamma Mia" during the show.
Now, did they pay out his
seriously,
prize?
Seriously, he said "Mamma Mia."
Did they pay
multiple Mario. Times?
Did they pay out his prize in Italian lira?
No, they gave it to him in a meatball.
Wait a minute. Now, if he's speaking English, doesn't that knock him down to about 97% Italian?
Yeah.
He said he's lived in America for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Little anecdote. A team of economists have analyzed the decisions of people appearing on both the European and U.S. versions.
And
found that, among other things, contestants are much less risk-averse or even risk-seeking when they have had their expected winnings tumble.
Yeah.
So, you know, like as like...
And that's what happened to Giuseppe,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Ooh. What did he end up with?
Like $100,000.
No,
actually,
it was like 20-something. No, it was 40-something because he locked out a big case and then he...
Oh, you're right. You're
mm-hmm. He had like two big.
I didn't watch it.
He had like two big cases, like, you know, 600,000, 400, and then 100, and then he just knocked them both out right away, and that was that.
Jared, what did you think?
Well, every show is so interchangeable; it doesn't really matter who was on. I mean, it's the rules of the game are very simple, and everyone is so stupidly animated and yelling and screaming and it's everything's predictable. It's the kind of show you could watch while you're doing the dishes or folding laundry or something, and you don't even have to see the screen. You can just listen to people go screaming and picking cases, and I don't know. I guess my favorite part is some of the models are hot. But overall,
I heard that's how they cast that show, though, based on how excitable these
you
people
have to be.
Yeah.
It's so boring otherwise. Like, they would have to be super.
I mean,
characters.
It's like none of these people are that way in real life,
right?
Except Giuseppe.
I mean, it's all chance. Exactly,
because he's Italian.
I mean, the whole thing is just, it's all chance, and you just, oh, I'm going to pick
right.
this case. Whatever.
I've always said, if I ever go on that show, I'm just going to pick the cases in numerical order.
Yeah,
you might as well.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So,
you know, being the TV outsider, I remember everybody was just saying, you have to watch this show.
Who?
Who said that?
When it first came on.
I never said it to you.
Not you guys, but like people at work and people on the street.
It's like, it gets really good ratings, and I have no idea how.
Because if you're into simple, brainless fun, it's perfect.
It's the dummy's guide to game show, because it's all odds. And chance. There's no brains involved in this.
Yeah, you don't feel stupid watching.
I had no idea what the show was about, and I was online, and they had to play the online game, and I said, all right, I'll try it out. I had to figure it out in like 30 seconds. I'm like, what? Yep. This is stupid. This is boring. Even playing the game, I'm bored.
Yep.
But I like it when the banker called.
Yeah,
he's got an offer for you.
Gary, have you ever seen this show?
The offer went up.
What do you think? Quickly.
I think it's a game show. It's the modern version of a game show where... Mm-hmm. I miss Jeopardy.
It's like a game show. It's a game show on Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Let's give it a score.
Yeah, where the hell is my score? There it is.
The Scoop score is 1 star.
Before we move on, I would like to point out that
I don't
appreciate the racism that goes on in the show, because you'll notice the banker's silhouette, because you never see his face. You just see a silhouette. Giant nose.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's
Could you see his horns?
Did you see his horns and his claws?
Yes. Almost.
Adam, that doesn't mean anything. I have a big nose and I'm not Jewish.
All right. Ruin my joke.
Jared, spin the wheel of fun and find out which random review will come up for next show.
Here we go, Shane. Round and round it goes.
I'm praying for a half-hour show or another game show.
Big money, big prizes.
No whammy.
Shane, your wish is my command. George Lopez Show,
oh,
ABC.
No!
Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central. It's only a half an hour, though.
Only good thing about George Lopez, he's been hammering Jay Leno in the press lately, so that's been good.
Why?
Because he feels Jay Leno is a two-faced jerk.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can't stand celebrities that badmouth other celebrities. You know, if you can't keep it to yourself, that's very unprofessional.
I like it.
If it's Jay Leno, I think it's great. Scope, coming soon.
Yeah.
I'd say hurry it up, Adam, but boy, we're...
Out the door.
Exactly. We're way beyond it. So do what you gotta do.
Sure, we'll start with music.
This is like a supersize show.
Yep.
It says January 13th, but I'm assuming it means February.
Sorry.
Lucinda Williams has a new album coming out.
Yep.
Weird. February 20th, Jill...
looks at me weird.
What is Regina Spektor's next album?
Jill Kunif of Luscious Jackson fame will have an album coming out February 20th, as well as The Magic Numbers, a band a lot of people liked. I only liked one song.
Are there
song.
Any men in that band? Because I'm tired of hearing about women.
Magic Numbers?
Yeah.
You're tired of hearing about women?
Yeah. The lead singer looks like a hippie kind of chick.
Trying to be controversial.
A hippie chick?
Do you like The Magic Numbers, Gary?
You guys should review a female artist one of these days.
We have.
We just did, and they got called.
Who have we reviewed as a female artist?
What's their names?
Like the past like 8 episodes, I don't remember hearing a female artist ever be reviewed.
Well, we've done like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah.
And not really a female artist specifically, I guess.
She is.
Yeah, you better do
well,
something.
Well, the singer.
If the front, I say if the front man slash woman is a lady, it's a lady.
Fair enough.
February 14th, which is also Valentine's Day, guys.
That was, you're not getting
Adam, that was very lilty the way you said that.
What do you want, flowers and chocolates or a teddy bear?
No, I would like...
Make your pick.
Which is Valentine's Day, you guys.
I would like...
I'm Adam.
This is absolutely not gay.
Sparkles like that one.
I did, God damn it. It's a special Wednesday movie release, so you know it's they do it for Valentine's Day.
Yep, right,
music special. And lyrics, which is Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant movie. Mm-hmm. So basic blah, blah, blah.
A chick flick.
Chick flick, yeah. Yes.
I did a bad thing that you had.
As much as I love Hugh Grant, I don't think I'll see this one. Then on Friday, Ghost Rider finally comes out, which I know we're all excited to see. You know what? I feel bad for Nick Cage because he wanted to be Superman, mm-hmm. and instead
he got Ghost Rider.
He got Ghost Rider tattooed on his arm. Well, I think he got the better.
I guess he's dedicated.
February 23rd.
Does Ghost Rider actually have himself tattooed on him?
No.
Then that's not even accurate.
February 23rd, the number 23 comes out. This is the Joel Schumacher, Jim Carrey, Virginia Madsen movie in which, Jim Carrey...
Or I like to call it a disaster in the making, right?
I finally saw a trailer for it when I went to go see Smoking Aces, which is god-awful, by the way.
Is it?
That's what everybody's been saying.
Wow, I wanted to like it so much, too, and it's...
And Earl, I was going to suggest we go see that one.
Well, why don't we just...
No, it's boring. It's not even... It's like, on a scale from... Negative 10 to positive 10, we're like, negative 10 is Manos, so it's like, it's at least so bad, it's you have something to talk about. It's like a zero.
There's not even a hipster factor to it?
No.
Because the previews make it look all slick. And
I know. They showed the entire trailer is the cool part, is the good part of the movie.
And
okay.
I'm
just downloading that.
It's a boring version of Snatch is all it winds up being.
Snatch,
Snatch is never boring.
Snatch should never be boring, people. Thank you, Jared. We are on the same page.
Unless it's Rosie O'Donnell or Star Jones.
Wait for it. I like Snatch.
Dun, dun, dun.
I would make a sample of that. Chewing your finger like Dr. Evil. Is there anything else on your list?
Reno 911 Miami, mm-hmm. Which is the movie version of the Reno 911 comedy series on Comedy Central.
I don't like the show.
I love
the
show.
I want to see the movie.
The show is very good. And what's it called? Early
review, early buzz,
the exit. What's it called? Not the
exit polls.
Where they do, or they have just random people watch
exit reviews.
Yeah, it's not that either. Whatever it's called. Anyway, they're
Apollo the Homeless?
They're scoring high.
Oh.
DVD, February 13th, School for Scoundrels, which I don't remember.
Billy Bob Thornton and Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, everybody beat the hell out of that movie. Ray, who runs a movie theater, said everybody walked out of that movie.
Everyone, huh?
And
not everyone.
No one saw the movie completely?
Damn near everyone.
Okay. How can they review it?
And also, Beauty and the Beast, the complete first season. So my mom will be happy. I remember her loving
this. With Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman.
Wow,
what's her name?
Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, there you go.
Hamilton.
And Cameron's finally, X. February 20th, bunch of movies. Babel, Flushed Away, For Your Consideration, Night of the Living Dorks, Open Water 2. Oh.
Direct to
video.
DVD. She's still there.
Open Water.
She didn't actually drown.
Open Water 1 is the most anxiety-inducing movie I've ever watched.
Made me uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
And The Prestige, which I really liked.
Prestige was awesome.
Departed comes out on DVD this week.
This week? I must have missed that one.
Yeah. You fucker.
It's like the highest profile DVD release of the week, and you totally forgot it.
My computer broke. I blame Comcast. Is that it?
Other two.
You know what I don't blame Comcast for? The slow skis, because I love them.
Okay.
The turtles,
Yes. That was Under the Scope.
Are we closing it up now? Okay.
Close
it up. I feel you, dog.
Under the Scope.
Let me get my notes.
Please.
Want to hear some comments?
Yes.
Indeed. Let me get loose.
All right. Don't.
Here we go.
Clock is not a good representation.
No. The time doesn't matter anymore, so we're just going to go on.
It's like Star Trek.
Since Gary's in the house, G-Love has a comment. I concur with Jared. Dazed and Confused is a great movie. And yes, the Criterion is definitely worth picking up.
Totally.
P.S.
Hey, did we talk about the kid that always touches his nose, like when we were going over that?
He's like the main character.
I told you guys that on one of the trivia
episodes. He had a cocaine
habit.
Oh, okay.
Linkletter made him do it.
I don't believe you. Or Linkletter.
I think he did. I remember hearing that too,
It's on the commentary.
Glove continues, P.S. Jared was firing on all cylinders this week. Had a lot of under-the-radar comments that had me rolling. It's nice to know that somebody noticed my school of thought on comedy, which is the buckshot school of thought. You just throw a bunch of stuff out there, and eventually you hit your target.
And they go down.
Anonymous Todd says, the comedic place you speak of is the Dudley Riggs Brave New Workshop, and it's a very, very great place. Their humor is often political, heartfelt, and unique.
And what else does he say
on
that?
He says, oh yeah, Shane, quit being a jerkbag and email me if you would, please, because I still have your mojo.
Hey, listen, you punk. I emailed you right away, buddy. I emailed you twice, and then I emailed you again. So, and you have not the respect and courtesy to email me back. So, chew on that.
Hey, but keep listening. Thank you.
So keep listening and keep sending in comments. Thank you.
This Earl, do you have something to say?
Earl.
Yes.
What do you have to say?
I'm sorry. I was looking at this picture of you and Sidney Pollack. I'm sorry.
Are we going into
Sidney Poitier?
Plugs?
No. I've got more. I've got more
Earl,
comments
just,
here.
Just plug it up for 1 second, Earl.
Jacqueline says, Rory Cochrane, you must see Love in a 45. Actually, I have seen that, but it's been a number of years. Much love for the actor who can play a psycho killer, stoner, and gambling team player and make us care about each character. So there you go. Rory Cochrane, ringing endorsement.
I didn't really care about him in
Empire Records?
Empire Records.
The newest one with Keanu Reeves, the quasi-animated one.
Oh, yeah. Scanner Darkly. Never saw that one.
I'd rather watch Miss 45. That was good.
Finally, Jess says, ever since I've stopped listening to the show, Adam has been stealing more of my jokes. That'll learn me.
That's all I do.
I didn't know she stopped listening to the show.
Well, obviously, we're not entertaining.
She thinks you guys are boring.
Probably.
By you guys, I mean all of us, including
oh,
me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Go buy another dog, or don't you, Jeff?
If you have something witty to say or just compliments for me, send them to comments@thescopeshow.com or head over to thescopeshow.com. Comment on the block.
I want to issue a challenge to every one of our three listeners, because we're dropping. Please send a comment. That's
okay.
It.
Shane, the music this week was for me.
Wow.
Possible Oscar. I didn't adjust my notes. I'm doing this on the fly. PossibleOscar.com, or you can also hear that song at TheFump.com. That's the Funny Music Project. TheFump.com. Back to you.
We've got people in the house that have plugs. Let's ask them what they want to plug. We'll start with Gary.
All right. Thanks, Shane. I am in the Chameleon Theater Circle's production of Evita, which opens in a month, March 16th, at the Lakeville Area Arts Center. You can get tickets online at www.ctheater.org.
That's C-E-A or C-E-E?
That's S-E-E.
And who will you be playing in Evita?
I will be Juan Perón.
Juan Perón.
Why do you have a mustache?
Evita's husband.
Sexy.
You need a mustache.
Sexy.
Dictator extraordinaire.
Antonio Banderas.
Are you going to have a pretty
sash?
No,
he's Shay.
Oh, I don't know. Earl.
Yes, sir.
Jonathan Price.
You were talking earlier.
Yes.
About your plug.
My plug is for a comic book coming out called Muscles and Fights.
Woo-hoo.
It's in the building cages right now, and I actually have a 10-page story that I created for it.
And where is a comic fan going to be able to find this so-called?
I'll have to give you that on a future episode of the Scope, because right now they're still putting the book together.
So you're just saying people be on the lookout for it? You're putting it out there in the The vast mind share of American pop culture.
It's going to be a graphic novel, and it has about 15 different artists contributing to it, and it's about muscles and fights.
Hmm.
And I've had a chance to sample
Earl's
new
muscle,
work.
His muscle,
and I must
or
say,
his fight.
It's really good. I think it's the best work Earl's done.
Why, thank you.
Well, there you go.
Very exciting.
There's no website or anything, Earl.
There was Muscles and Fight, that's an N, but I don't think it's quite up yet.
Okay.
But if you just type in parentheses Muscles and Fights, you'll find something.
Earl, what's your blog
into Google
address?
Oh, yeah, you can find me on the Live Journal.
I don't know why that was funny.
And
but it was. It was.
At Wingard, at W... How do I spell it? Oh, yeah, W-Y-N-G-A-R-D-E.
If you can't spell it, we probably can't.
You can go there and get a preview of what controversial topics we'll be talking about next time.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, they steal all the show stuff from me. And, of course, you can check out Movie Poster Friday.
There you go.
That's everyone's talking about it. I mean,
I'm on
MySpace. I can't go anywhere without people talking about Movie Poster Friday, Earl.
Gary's on MySpace.
Really?
He wants to talk
really?
About it.
Yeah, Gary, what is your spot?
My spot's on MySpace.com. /GADEETS. That's DIETZE.
Like diet disease.
Or something.
Adam, anything you want to plug before we finish off the marathon show that is the Scope number 23?
No.
Jared?
Yeah, no. Robitussin? No.
No Robitussin? Well, I want to thank everyone who...
Wait, I got one more plug.
Of course you do.
MarsCon coming up 2nd of March. I will be hosting the Dementia Smackdown. Possible Oscar will be singing, and a few other people. But that's right. Come see me and Jared. Maybe not on a stage together, but there in spirit and It'll be awesome.
If you're a hot chick who's going to be there, you find Jared, because he'll be liquored up and looking for love. No, he's not even going to be looking for
love.
The
love train is starting.
He's looking for cans.
And Jared's the engineer.
Exactly.
Something like that.
He'll be shoveling coal into something.
Whoa.
This has
you
been
better
a
take that one.
I'll take your hand-me-downs, Jared.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo-woo.
So start pushing the buttons for the end of the show, Jared, Adam, and Shane. That's me. And our two guests, thank you for being here. Great show coming up.
What episode number was this?
23,
just like the Jim Carrey film.
24.
Wow.
24 coming up. We'll be talking about the most overrated things in pop culture.
Oh, I'll be here.
Buckle up and be ready for it.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.